early.
Good morning. I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. If you think health insurance premiums are high now, just wait. It gets worse, says an administration report due out today. Let's get the details live from CBS News correspondent Peter King.
The Health and Human Services Department says huge increases coincide with huge profits and a lack of competition. Princeton University economics professor Uwe Reinhardt says companies may have to open their books.
To let independent actuaries look over the risk pool and the medical trends and see if the story there the insurance companies told are true.
HHS says the big hikes are in California, Maine, Michigan, Connecticut, Oregon, and Rhode Island, and the most vulnerable, those who buy their own insurance, are the targets. Higher premiums reflect supply and demand that medical costs keep rising even in a weak economy. Nick?
It's one of the most massive hacker attacks yet with the story CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett.
2,400 companies worldwide and 75,000 computers were broken into over the past year and a half. NetWitness discovered the security breach and says credit card data, emails, health and technology logins, and intellectual property were all accessed. 10 U.S. government agencies were hit. Hackers worked from Germany, and according to the Wall Street Journal, they got in by having employees check on contaminated websites or have them check out ads that touted a cleanup of computer viruses. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
With a congressional hearing looming next week, the president of Toyota's U.S. operations has taken out full-page ads in leading newspapers to outline the steps the company is taking to deal with safety problems. In the letter, Jim Lent says some dealers are working around the clock to fix recalled cars. Auto Beat Daily editor Katie Kerwin says it could help Toyota's fortunes.
If they explain things in a way that makes sense to people and follow through with recalls that are quick and efficient, they could pull out of this. They have a long-term record of safety to build on here.
The scene, Miami, just after midnight. Cameras snap away as eight American missionaries return to the U.S. after nearly 3 weeks in a Haitian jail on charges of trying to kidnap 33 children following the devastating earthquake that hit the country last month. Two other missionaries remain in Haitian custody. Attorney Caleb Stegall, who represents several of the missionaries, says it has been a rough time for their families.
They have been through so much, and obviously it's just so difficult not to know what's happening to your loved ones. And so I'm just very, very relieved and pleased for those family members.
New bloodshed in Pakistan, where authorities say 29 people have been killed in a bomb blast at a mosque in the volatile northwest part of the country. More than 50 people were wounded. And in Iraq, a suicide bomb attack at a checkpoint in Ramadi has left at least 11 people dead and 21 others wounded. It was one very big day for American athletes at the Winter Olympic Games yesterday. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is covering the competition in Vancouver.
Gold medal number one came in the women's downhill.
Lindsey Vonn, right now, she's in excellent shape.
Skier Lindsey Vonn overcame a painful shin injury to finish first.
It was definitely a challenge just to make it down.
The second gold came at men's speed skating. Shawnee Davis won the 1,000-meter event.
Extremely happy and satisfied with my performance and my results.
And gold medal number three came at Cypress Mountain when snowboarder Sean White won his second straight men's halfpipe.
It's history, man.
Steve Futterman, CBS News at the Winter Olympics in Vancouver.
Mother Nature's played havoc with some of the competition, and that has disappointed spectators.
It's not what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
Karen Losk and Jordan Buteau wanted to see snowboarding.
It's like you get up here after a year of planning and it's, you know, what do you do?
Melting snow made the stand and view area too dangerous. They and 28,000...
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
I'm Pat. Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Mix and match two smaller portion Qdoba dishes, like the Naked Queso Burrito and Grilled Chicken Quesadilla, for just $5.99. Qdoba Mexican Grill, handmade for real.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Oh, you little finhead!
Shut the F up and step aside, you little pisshead.
Just shut up, will you?
You shut up.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Oh, my God!
Radio talk show host Bill Press.
In the heezy.
A voice of certainty in an uncertain world.
The fun that's ahead of us here, folks, almost incalculable.
Welcome to the Bill Press Radio Show. I am Peter Ogburn, sitting in for Bill Press today, Thursday, February 18th. Thank you so much for joining us. What an exciting rest of the show we have. And by the way, Bill will be back next week. It's a promise. No more nasty email. Well, look, you send all the nasty emails you want, you bunch of jerks. I got a horrible email earlier today from someone who hated it. Yeah, well, look, I'm glad you're here. Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press. We are taking your emails all the time at BillPressShow.com. While you're there, buy yourself a podcast account. You can listen to the show in its entirety if that's your thing. And if your thing is to listen to just little segments of the show, we have that for you as well. It's very nice little way we have it set up over there. Compliments of Dan Henning. Mr. Henning, how are you?
Oh, good, good. Just actually got a new email. Subject line, Peter Ogburn.
Oh, let's hear it.
Hey, this is from Gloria Montgomery.
Hi, Gloria.
Hey, that opening email you read was mean.
Oh!
Bill's on vacation, and so are you, in a way, just having fun making us listeners laugh?
Oh, Gloria, thank you.
The first hour of your program is always kind of low-key chitter-chatter anyway. And Peter, you are very funny. And wait for it. I also like Dan and Stevie Lee.
Yeah.
Hilarious with those Brit-in phrases none of us residents of the colonies understand at all.
Yeah, you're a little off.
Keep entertaining us, dudes.
Yeah. You know, like, every show has some form of comic relief. You know, like, there's the wacky neighbor, like Kramer. Stevie is like Latka. He's like on a totally different planet. Like, he's just so far out there. Stevie Webb, how are you?
I'm very... Gloria, you're a cracking bird.
Jesus Christ.
Cheers, love.
Well, thank you for the kind comments, Gloria. I needed that little pick-me-up. Thank you so much for listening. Boy, what an exciting hour we have coming up today. We have Congresswoman Deborah Wasserman Schultz joining us. For whatever reason, the House is letting me talk to actual congresspeople.
I love that you had Chairman John Dingell on the show yesterday.
Yeah, and we've got Deborah Wasserman Schultz today. I you know what that makes me? Credible.
Yep, absolutely.
And we'll also be joined here in mere moments by Gail Haggard. This is exciting. One of my top 10 favorite stories of all time. Ted Haggard, you remember Ted Haggard. He was the evangelical minister out in Colorado, met often with President Bush. He was a very well-known minister, and it turned out that he was doing meth and having homosexual encounters. I mean, it's fascinating. And his wife, Gail Haggard, has a new book out. It's called Why I Stayed, The Choices I Made in My Darkest Hours, and we will be talking to her in mere moments. I'll be on my best behavior. As many jokes as I would like to make, honestly, I don't think I have the balls to do it to her face. I'll be honest. So, I can make fun of him now all I want for being, you know, the minister that was, you know, doing meth and doing gay dudes, but I don't think I'll do it to her face. Anyway, it's 10 minutes past the hour. By the way, sad news, of course. Evan Bayh dropped out of the race.
Stevie Lee Webb brought to my attention that we have maybe the perfect candidate to replace Evan Bayh.
If you send Foodie Tang to Congress, he will work hard to Wapata to the Bannies. Foodie Tang knows that the Cammy Town's a pity on the patty style.
Camping on to the bitties. I'm camping down to the cemetery. But don't stay on the same old telly. Saisha!
It's obvious we should go with Pootie Tang.
Now clap it up, my hammies. Rinatine, my America.
We should totally go with Pootie Tang. Stevie, excellent suggestion. Excellent suggestion. Thank you very much. We'll be joined by Gail Haggard here in mere moments, but first...
is the Full Court Press.
This serves the other headlines making news. Tiger Woods will break his near three-month silence at a press conference tomorrow, although they're saying it's not a press conference. He'll speak at the PGA Tour's headquarters, according to CBS News, saying he does not know when he'll return to golf, but will talk about the next step, whatever that may be, and will apologize for everything that has happened and what we've learned since that Thanksgiving Day weekend mishap.
By the way, I mentioned in the first hour that he was going to go on the whole apology tour. He's going to do Oprah. He's going to do Diane Sawyer. Sheldon email says, when you're talking about Tiger Woods, it's probably not a good way to describe it when you say he'll do Oprah and he'll do Diane Sawyer.
Move over, Nobel Prize. The President and First Lady Michelle Obama are nominated in the cutest couple category for this year's Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. They face some tough competition. Edward and Bella and Jacob and Bella from Twilight and Neytiri and Jake from Neytiri and Jake from Avatar.
Oh, my God. The Obamas have that one in the bag.
And more spotlight for those White House party crashers. HBO's Bryant Gumbel heading to D.C. next week to interview people who have been victims of Tariq and Michaela Salahi. Politico reports the segment on Gumbel's Real Sports program will focus on the polo matches hosted by the couple and how they screwed people over.
All right. Well, I'll watch that because I think they're fascinating. I love watching a good train wreck. And they are just a classic D.C. train wreck. 12 minutes past the hour, as I mentioned, this story, I think, is one of the most interesting stories that I've ever seen. Ted Haggard, the minister out in Colorado, evangelical, turns out he was leading a double life. He was doing meth. He was having gay relationships. He was a homosexual. He was sent away to pray the gay away and get rid of his gayness, and his wife decided to stay with him. His wife is Gail Haggard. She is the author of the new book, Why I Stayed, The Choices I Made in My Darkest Hour, and she joins us now on the Bill Press Show. Gail, I want to start, first of all, with the church. Ted Haggard was in charge of one of the biggest congregations in the country, and a lot of the allegations between the meth and the homosexual activity, these all go against things that the church believes in.
Exactly. And actually, what happened to us was not indicative of the church itself. The people of the church did not make the decision to separate from us. That decision was made by leaders who came in and felt it was best to separate us from the church. And one of the reasons I wrote the book was to challenge that kind of thinking. I certainly don't hold it against those leaders for the decisions they made. I just feel as though those decisions needed to be challenged, that I don't think they're representative of our faith or the teachings of Jesus. I feel as though the church exists to help people with their sin problems and to bring forgiveness to them and love and support.
It's well documented, you know, how the church feels about homosexuality and drug use, and I mean, how did you sort of reconcile his behavior with the teachings that are in the Bible?
Well, I think what the Bible does teach us is that we are all going to fail, that we are all going to sin, and this was Ted's personal journey in his faith. And everything he taught from the scriptures he believed was true and tried to live according to the scriptures. And that's why he was so tormented by the thoughts that he was having to deal with because they were incongruent with who he felt he was and what he believed. And that's why he kept it a secret. He was ashamed of it, and he kept trying to deal with it on his own. But what he needed was a safe place to be able to say, I am really having to deal with these thoughts. And in his case, those thoughts led to temptations, and then he succumbed to those temptations. And what the church needs to do is recognize that that is our human condition. That's the whole point of the gospel, is that none of us are righteous.
So he gave into these desires that he had. I'm trying to figure out a delicate way to put it. Is he still gay? Is he bi? What is he now? Is he a straight man?
Well, here's what we believe, that God's ways are higher than our ways, and that's what the scripture says. But the scriptures also say that God understands our human condition. We are the way we are for a reason.
So, getting back to the question of where does he stand now?
Well, he would say that he is heterosexual, and what you have to remember is there was no indication in our marriage that he was not, because he was attracted to me when we were dating and we married and we had a very healthy, normal sex life. But he also had this component of these thoughts that from time to time would emerge in him, and he didn't know where they were coming from. And finally, through counseling, he was able to point to the fact that he did suffer a sexual abuse situation as a child. Resolved in him, and he had to deal with that. And once he did, it was the effects of that trauma that he felt healed of, and then he no longer has had to deal with those troubling thoughts.
So
there
were,
it was a process. It wasn't something that just happened immediately.
But there were no signs that you saw.
Time that he feels as though he is free of the things that those compulsive thoughts that were tormenting him.
And there was nothing that you saw in the marriage. There was nothing at all that would lead you to...
Nothing in our relationship. Now, early on, I think he did it at various points in our marriage, try to communicate to me the struggle, but I didn't understand the gravity of it at the time. That was many years ago when he first told me that he was having these troubling thoughts and said that he was going to see a pastoral counselor about them. And I encouraged him to do that. I thought he was handling it the right way and just did not understand the gravity of what he was dealing with.
Just a few more minutes left in the interview. I just want to ask you, would this have made any difference if he was having an affair or sexual encounters with a woman?
You know, since that's hypothetical, I can only imagine that it would stir up different emotions in me.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do think is that the principles that I responded to him with of really wanting to work through forgiveness and love and fighting for our marriage would have been the same.
And I guess finally, the thing I want to ask, and it seems like in the book, you know, you've come a long way from where you were when you originally found out about these things.
Certainly. It has been a process.
I can only imagine. I find your story fascinating. I genuinely do. The thing I really want to ask, you know, a lot of people label Christians and Christianity as being intolerant. And I might be one of those people. And I wonder if this has led you and Ted to both maybe take a look at some of your own beliefs and teachings, and if any tolerance has sort of formed out of this situation.
Well, I have to say I don't see Christianity as being intolerant. I see some Christians as being intolerant. And what has happened for us in this process...
And by the way, I should just say, some people would have probably put your husband in that category before all this came out. I'm not, you know, he was kind of leading the way on a lot of issues that a lot of people found to be divisive, and I guess that's kind of getting to what I'm asking. Has he learned anything from that?
Well, let me say this. That is one of the misconceptions I clear up in the book. My husband was never a hateful preacher. He was never an anti-gay preacher. And even though he did define marriage as between a man and a woman when that legislation was up for in Colorado, in the state of Colorado,
right,
and they were determining the definition of marriage, but he was never, he's always been a very compassionate person. But here is where we've changed. Prior to the scandal, we were as compassionate and merciful as we knew how to be, and that's what we taught in our church. What we did not know was what it felt like to be the person who needed compassion. And that's where we've grown, because now we know what it feels like, and it's changed the way we see people, and it's really softened our hearts for people in their human condition and the struggles that they're going through in their lives. I think we've only gained in that area, and I think in our marriage we've been strengthened, in our faith we've been deepened, and I think that in the church, what I want to do is challenge the church to be the church and to represent the teachings of Jesus. And those are to be compassionate and loving and kind and forgiving toward each other and toward people in general.
Gail, thank you so much. Good luck with the book. I really appreciate your time. I hope it does really well. And, best of luck.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on the show.
You got it. Take care. See you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Actively
bye-bye.
Interactive
at BillPressShow.com.
The Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
With the recession ending, if you've been waiting for the right time to build for your business, now is the time to act. This is the best time to buy before steel prices go up, and General Steel is the best place to call for your pre-engineered steel building. Don't wait. We're ready to help you now with a building for almost any need. If you want quality and a price that means value, find out why thousands of business owners contact General Steel each month. If you've wanted to own a General Steel building but thought you couldn't afford it, now there's no reason to buy anything less. General Steel not only offers you the best quality, but also the best price. That's right. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Now there's no reason to sacrifice quality for price. If you can own a General Steel building for the same price, why wouldn't you? Call 866-95-STEEL. You could save as much as half the cost of conventional construction. Act now. Call 866-95-STEEL today. That's 866-957-8335.
It's the dawning of a new day. For American business, the future looks brighter, and it's all because of you. Your ideas, your energy, and your dreams are the most precious resources we have. And OfficeMax has the products and services you need to help make your dreams come true. OfficeMax. Work with us.
Buy two, get one free on all OfficeMax legal pads and OfficeMax envelopes. Certain restrictions may apply. See store for details.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE certified Blue Automotive Crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes?
Yes.
Tires?
Yep.
Struts?
Of course.
Oil changes?
Totally.
Helsinki smash rod?
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Right now, save on all Goodyear tires. Plus, get $80 cash back by mail with a purchase of four Goodyear tires before the 28th. And diehard automotive batteries as low as $69.99. Visit SearsAuto.com to learn more. Sears, life well spent.
Hey, not the whole people.
Save an instant $50 to $250 on instant bath products. Brands like Kohler and Moen. Just spend $500 on an updated bathroom and remodel your thing too. Because by putting a saving back into your project, you can afford an even nicer bath. If you hurry in today for an instant saving of up to $250, more saving, more doing. That's the power. For the Home Depot, the February 20th U.S. Macy's store for details.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Reading summaries are free. Use them, and you'll be armed with the world's most powerful weapon, knowledge.
For more information, go to ESRB.org.
I want to leave them a brighter day.
Care for the earth by shopping organic. The soil helps rid vehicle emissions from the air.
Get more earth-saving tips at am760.net. Keyword green, sponsored by Clorox Greenworks.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Hey now. Welcome to the Bill Press Show. 26 minutes past the hour. Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press today. If you have 34 minutes to get to work, if you have to be there at the top of the hour, by the way.
Thank you.
Just so you know. I have to tell you, I saw this audio, or I saw this video. Damn, this is funny. I had to share it with you. Gary Coleman, the not funny part of the story is he's been accused of battering his wife. That's not so funny. The funny thing is, he goes on the Hollywood Insider to try and defend himself. Call this a defense if you want, but they bring on a real-life attorney to try and, like, you push him on this. Did you beat your wife? Listen to Gary Coleman. Try and get his way, get out of it, and then he storms off the set.
If people would want to believe that I assault my wife at 4'7" and she's 5'6", then they can believe that all day long. I don't care.
Why don't you flat out deny it then, right here? Because otherwise, everyone's going to look at this and say he's waffling around and he probably did.
I don't waffle. There is no abuse that goes on in my house. I don't waffle. Now, if people believe that I'm waffling, then they can go. Do what they
did
need to do.
Did you abuse your wife? Did you abuse her? Did you lay your hand
and
on her?
You know what? You can go to the same place.
Did you lay your hands on your wife, Gary Coleman? Because she says
you
did.
And drown yourself in the ocean.
She says you did.
You know what? I have this on my head because I fell down the stairs. I don't want people thinking that my wife is abusing
me. Why don't you want to answer the question about whether you abused
because
your
you
wife?
Can go
and everything else. Pardon me?
You can go yourself.
Really? Oh, quit asking. Is that the way you talk to your wife?
Yes, I have to, if I need to, but I don't. And I don't know you, and I don't care about
and
you.
And is this the kind
and
of anger that leads to your physical assault?
Doesn't matter to me.
Let me tell you
so
what I'm going to do.
So if my life can drown tonight or get hit by a bus tonight, I ain't going to care because she's pushing my buttons, and I don't like her now. And the next thing
why
I'm going to do
tonight
is leave. So all of you.
There he goes.
Gary, come back.
No, you.
There he goes. And he just goes storming off the set. And one of the reasons it's so funny is because he's so tiny. He's like 4'6" and he's like a little black leprechaun that goes off the set. It's the funniest thing. But he freaks out. I've never seen him get that angry. Deborah Wasserman Schultz joining us next on the Bill Press Show.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Hi, this is Ron Insana. Stay tuned after this quick break for an important business tip sponsored by Office Max.
It's the dawning of a new day for American business. The future looks brighter, and it's all because of you. Your ideas, your energy, and your dreams are the most precious resources we have. And Office Max has the products and services you need to help make your dreams come true. Office Max, work with us.
Buy two, get one free on all binders. Certain restrictions may apply. See store for details.
Many great entrepreneur ideas come out of adversity. For example, a joint marketing campaign with another entrepreneur that offers a product or service that complements yours without competing with it is one proven way to grow a business. Another affordable marketing effort is a text messaging campaign. Utilize all forms of media when brainstorming ideas. That tip was sponsored by Office Max. Office Max, work with us.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong.
You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text SPEAKUP to 411-247.
Nowadays, when I talk with folks, they know GEICO could save them hundreds on their car insurance. But what they want to know is how GEICO does it. Well, I say, we got tons of great discounts, like good driver discounts, multi-car discounts. And they say, there's no secret formula. And I say, nah, it's just what we do. And then sometimes they say, maybe a talking gecko's a secret. Well, I wouldn't know what to say about that.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Electronics location at 1370 South Colorado Boulevard. This going-out-of-business piano sale features unbelievable markdowns on grands, verticals, and digital pianos, and the exciting new CD player grands. Find new and pre-owned name brands like Steinway, Baldwin, Yamaha, Story & Clark, Kawai, and many more. That's at the old Ultimate Electronics Building, 1370 South Colorado Boulevard, 303-757-3000. That's 303-757-3000.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. No, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
I always check the rating and content descriptors before buying a video game, but sometimes I want more detail about a game's content. That's why I love these new rating summaries.
For more information about the ratings and rating summaries, go to ESRB.org.
Why are you so distant?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
You gonna get a job now or what?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Listen to AM 760 on your cell phone. Just download the app at am760.net.
Show.
Welcome back to the Bill Press Show, 33 minutes past the hour. Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press, and thank you so much for sticking with us. Bill will be back next week. You got one more day of me tomorrow. I'll be back here if the creek don't rise.
It's rising fast.
Oh, stop it, Dan. Doing just fine, I think. Aside from all the horrible emails I've gotten, I think I'm doing just fine. Joining us now, Congresswoman Deborah Wasserman Schultz from Florida. Congresswoman, thank you so much for coming on with me.
Oh, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
I'm a big fan of yours. We always have you on the show.
Thank you.
I'm glad you actually braved the backup host and came on with me.
I'm ready.
All right. I'll do what we can. So let's start, first of all, with health care. Everybody's still talking about health care. I don't want to say that it's gone away or that it's disappeared, but it's certainly not as top of mind as it once was. What's the latest with healthcare?
Oh, no, let me just differ with you. That nothing could be further from the truth.
Okay.
Healthcare still is absolutely top of mind. We can't afford for it not to be. We are literally in the red zone when it comes to healthcare. We have an opportunity to jumpstart the process again with the White House summit on February 25th. We're really gonna sit down and try to hammer out, you know, with or without the Republicans' cooperation, we're gonna try to hammer out what we can pass that amounts to significant reform. And there's a lot we can pass, particularly the health insurance reforms, particularly making sure that we can bring down costs, that we can provide some security and stability to the 85% of Americans that have health insurance, and also to just get a handle on the cost of health insurance in general, because that's really the key, as President Obama has said so often, to our deficit reduction.
Let me ask you this, though. A lot of people have given up on the idea of a public option. Except for we now have this letter in the Senate that's going to Harry Reid, Dianne Feinstein most recently signed it, saying we could push this through, you know, even though we have, you know, only 59 votes. I mean, is that a route that you think that we should be going, or are you kind of on the bipartisan bandwagon here?
No, I mean, I'm totally supportive of a public option, and if it's possible to pass it with a majority of the House and a majority of the Senate, which is the way our founding fathers created the legislative process,
yeah.
There's nothing in the Constitution that says that legislation passes with has to pass with 60 votes. Then we should do that, and I applaud the senators that are going to try to make a valiant effort at getting a public option, because that's the way we're really going to be able to bring down costs. And expand access to the Americans that don't have insurance. We passed a bill in the House with a public option. We got that job done. So it will make it a lot easier if we can get something out of the Senate that would do that as well.
Let me move on, because yesterday was the anniversary of the stimulus plan, and
right.
President Obama came out and talked about it. I want to play a quick clip, and I want to get your take on it.
There are those, let's face it, across the aisle who have tried to score political points by attacking what we did. Even as many of them show up at ribbon-cutting ceremonies for projects in their districts.
So, let's first of all start out with, okay, so it's been a year of the stimulus. How's it working out?
Look, the stimulus has been doing absolutely the job that it was intended to do, and in fact, the best is yet to come. We have at least a third of the stimulus left, if not more, to be allocated over the next two quarters. President Obama was absolutely right in highlighting the success of the stimulus in the anniversary yesterday, and also popping Republicans a little bit, because I watched my just by example, I watched my colleague from Illinois, Aaron Schock, on the news last week, trying to defend himself while criticizing the Recovery Act, but showing up at a ribbon cutting for one of the projects that were funded by it, all the while having voted against it. They can't have their cake and eat it.
It's amazing how they're trying to pull it up. Tim Pawlenty did this.
Really,
Bobby Jindal did it. Rick Perry did it. I mean, it's crazy. Now in Florida, though, Charlie Crist was sort of on board with this stimulus package, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was at the announcement of right after the introduction of the Recovery Act. I was there, watched the hug.
and a lot of Floridians are seeing that hug over and over again.
You know what? I mean, it's so ridiculous. Look, I'm a Democrat, but Charlie Crist understands and understood then that the Recovery Act made sense. Because we had to inject an infusion, a massive infusion of dollars to create jobs, to create infrastructure, to bridge the gap for people who'd lost their jobs and subsidize the cost of health insurance through giving them assistance with their COBRA. Literally, the Recovery Act is responsible already for creating as many as 2.4 million jobs through the end of 2009.
Yeah.
And there's much more to come. We really, the Republicans can cross their arms and stamp their feet and insist to their blue in the face that the Recovery Act didn't do anything. I heard a Club for Growth person on yesterday say that it literally created no jobs.
Mm.
I mean, that's just absolutely ludicrous, and we need to continue to call them on that.
Speaking of sort of Republican hypocrisy and things like that. So next week is the big healthcare summit where Barack Obama is going to meet with Republicans on healthcare. Do you think that they've had enough chances? Or is this sort of like the one last chance, and we really mean it this time, opportunity for them to come together on this?
Well, it'll be interesting to see whether they actually show up, and if they show up ready to negotiate and really truly work in the spirit of compromise. I don't know how many times President Obama has to extend the olive branch reach across the aisle and offer to sit down with them. My fear is that they really have no interest in seeing health care or any other legislation be successful if it's led by Democrats, because that means that they have a lot less likelihood of coming back to power, and that's all they're interested in. So I'm hopeful that they've been given an opportunity, and it's a national stage, and I think it's going to be pretty embarrassing for them if they don't show up, or if they show up not really willing to participate. But I think President Obama should be praised for continuing to reach across the aisle in spite of the fact that he keeps getting rebuffed.
Yeah. Yeah. And one final question I want to ask you, and it's about the filibuster. The kind of cries are starting to come in that we really need to change the filibuster. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, clearly it's not working the way that it was intended as right now.
Well, it's clearly not working the way it was intended, and I'm one who thinks that there needs to be reform in the filibuster process. The Founding Fathers did not intend the filibuster to be used on every bill, no matter how non-controversial or complex. They're probably, if it were me, I'm not a senator, but if it were me, there are probably some legitimate reasons to use the filibuster. Maybe they could sit down and figure out the kinds of votes that a filibuster can be used for, like judicial nominations, for example, because those are lifetime appointments, and obviously that the stakes are very high. But I think filibuster reform is really essential. Short of that, the Senate needs to decide to allow a filibuster to occur.
Yeah.
I mean,
right. That's always been our thing. Just let
them
filibuster. Yeah,
I mean,
please.
What is the problem?
Please.
If the Republicans, let them filibuster. If they were allowed, if this world were allowed to see what the Republicans are actually opposed to, I think we would probably move our agenda a lot faster.
Yeah.
It's baffling to House members, in our Democratic caucus, why the Senate is not just allowing that to occur.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's right on target. One final question. I know I said the last one was the final, but this one. So you are in charge of keeping incumbents in their seat in the DCCC. How are we going to do in 2010?
You know, this is a rough election year, no matter what year it is, and this kind of a midterm. But our members are working extremely hard. You can talk about the generic polling, which a lot of pundits have been touting as not being so good for Democrats right now. But the head-to-head, when your generic members of Congress aren't on the ballot, it's a real live flesh and blood member of Congress that's on the ballot opposite a challenger. And our members in their head-to-head polling are doing extremely well. They're well ahead in fundraising. They're focused on the needs of their district. And I believe that while it's an uphill battle and we may lose some seats, I think we will lose some seats, I don't think it's going to be as dire as everybody's predicting.
All right. Congresswoman Deborah Wasserman Schultz, thank you so much for joining us.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We love having you on.
We'll
do. We'll do. 43 minutes past the hour. Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press. We'll be right back.
Twitter feed at Bill's White House Report, exclusively at the brand new BillPressShow.com. This is the
You're
Bill
listening
Press
to
Show.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Nowadays, when I talk with folks, they know GEICO could save them hundreds on their car insurance. But what they want to know is how GEICO does it. Well, I say, we got tons of great discounts, like good driver discounts, multi-car discounts. And they say, there's no secret formula. And I say, nah, it's just what we do. And then sometimes they say, maybe a talking gecko's a secret. Well, I wouldn't know what to say about that.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Whatever your business card says, you're in the business of you, and only you know where you want that business to go. DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management offers 15 different MBA concentrations designed to match both the realities of today's business world and your career ambitions. Keller Graduate School of Management, over 85 locations and online. Discover how to grow the business of you at keller.edu. Certified to operate by CHEV in New York. DeVry University operates as DeVry College of New York.
Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems. A winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
Kevin Richards' identity is in trouble.
Hello, this is Kevin.
Kevin, hey, it's me, your identity. Bad news, I've been stolen.
What? What? How?
That stupid pin you use? Kevin, 123.
Yeah, it didn't take a genius to figure that one out. Pretty dumb, man.
Okay, listen, stay calm. I'm gonna take care of it.
Yeah, good luck with that, El Capitan.
Why are you talking like that?
Sorry, no, I'm Terry's identity. Oh, I gotta go, man.
Your identity is counting on you. Time to get Identity Guard Total Protection, PC World's top-rated identity protection service. Go to IdentityGuard.com today, get your free identity checkup, and find out if yours has been exposed and what you can do to protect it. That's IdentityGuard.com.
I think I'm going to buy me a new widescreen LCD TV!
Oh, no, 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 don't do that!
Get your free identity checkup at IdentityGuard.com. Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again.
Business results. Take your business up a notch. Call 1-877-4DEX now.
I want to leave them a brighter day.
Go online for a brighter tomorrow. Save trees and resources by switching to online bill pay.
Get more tips at am760.net, keyword green, sponsored by Clorox Screenworks.
You're listening to AM760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Six minutes past the hour, Peter Ogren sitting in for Bill Press. ZZ Top. Love some ZZ Top. Very cool little interaction yesterday. President Barack Obama dialed up to the space station. I can only imagine what a call like that must cost from the White House.
I'm sure there's a roaming charge on that.
There should be a roaming charge. But I got a feeling he's got connections to make these type of things happen. Here he talks about, as we know, Stephen Colbert has a treadmill up on the space station. President Obama referenced that yesterday.
Everybody here back home is excited about this bay on the world that you guys are opening up. And Stephen Colbert, at least, is excited about his treadmill.
Right, yeah.
You know, that new module that he was just referencing,
yeah.
Very cool. It's like all windows, and the view is apparently
pretty
good.
What he didn't say is, yeah, sorry about cutting all that money for now out of the budget.
Not sure I got a ride home for you guys, but
yeah. You have a lovely bay a window there on the world. Unfortunately, you have a screen door. That's already in the budget. He didn't get into that. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, pop some popcorn. Tiger Woods is going to hold a press conference.
I can't wait to watch that.
It's going to be, let me put it this way, it's going to be a lot less exciting than I think it's going to be. You know, like I'm building it up in my head too much. There are a couple things I want to see. Number one, how much he actually confesses to. The answer is not that much. It's going to be sort of vague and say, you know, my transgressions against my family and my fans and yada, yada, yada. I really want to see is, will Elin, his wife, be by his side when he comes up to make this announcement? Let's go around the room. Dan, will Elin be at his side?
No.
Stevie Lee Webb, will his wife be at his side?
No, she'll be behind him with a golf club.
The correct answer is no, she will not be at this press conference. They may or may not work things out, but she's going to stay quiet for a long time. I think he's going to go, you know, Let's not forget what happened to Kobe Bryant. This guy was accused of rape. Kobe Bryant went out and bought his wife like a $10 million ring. I mean, just an absurd piece of jewelry. Bought his wife a ring, started, you know, making public appearances with her, made sure he didn't rape anybody, that type of stuff.
Made sure he didn't rape
anybody. That type of stuff to save the marriage. And now the guy is generally accepted. So I think we're going to see that from Tiger Woods. He will announce that he's going to play in the Masters, is my prediction. And we'll get back to seeing the Tiger Woods that we know and love. Not the secret Tiger Woods that, you know, running around having sex and impregnating porn stars. Not that guy, but the old Tiger Woods. So it would be interesting. We have been covering this story for you. Bill really started this talking about this. The Americans that were detained in Haiti.
Oh, the kidnappers.
The kidnappers. 10 Americans put in jail in Haiti. You think jail here is bad? Can you imagine what a Haitian jail looks like? These 10 Americans have been jailed because basically what they were doing is they were taking these little Haitian kids and trying to bring them across the border and put them in American homes.
Christian homes.
Christian homes. Good Christian homes. And it turns out some of these kids still had parents. It's not like their parents died. They were just scooping up these kids and trying to convert them. Not cool, Christians. Not cool. Anyway, 8 out of 10 of these Americans have been released. The other two will be released soon. But here's one of them, Eric Thompson, talks about
it. It's been difficult, but at the same time, God has lifted us up and kept us encouraged and helped us through this.
I'm not a religious man, but I would suggest he pray to God and ask forgiveness for, you know, ripping children away from their mothers. I don't think that that's part of the Ten Commandments. I don't think that that's in there, but maybe Eric Thompson should go back and reread those Ten Commandments. This clip is amazing. This guy has maybe the best name in politics, Antonio Villaraigosa. Antonio Villaraigosa!
Hey, what the hell is that? It's the theme song from All My Children, the hit soap opera, KBBC.
A, how the hell would you know that and have it at your hands? B, no, turn it off! Turn it off! That's terrible. But Antonio Villaraigosa, All My Children. And he's trying to act. I mean, he gives it his best shot. Here he is with Susan Lucci.
Here we go.
Great to see you. Why are you dining here when you could be in sunny Los Angeles?
Oh.
I think the last time I saw you, it was
like
the Green City's Ball.
It
was a great time. What are you doing here in Pine Valley?
Looking for jobs. We're here for the jobs conference.
This is a porn movie.
Business to Los Angeles.
Well, if I decide to move my business to Los Angeles, you'll be the first to know.
I hope so.
Thank you.
Okay. How many people have watched a movie that starts out with that, and then the next thing is, I think I have a job for you. Yeah, exactly. Kick in the wah-wah pedal guitar. Kick in the cheesy dialogue. The next scene is where his pants hit the floor.
Yeah, and then he kills someone. It's a proper plot, you know.
You know, Dan...
I understand you were trying to make a porn movie. I was continuing the soap opera reference where someone always dies in the end and cheats on someone.
No, I know, but see, I was going down the porn path, and you took a sharp right turn into Not Funnyville.
What kind of porn have you seen, Dad?
It's a fetish.
Oh, man, I'm not going to sit next to you.
Kidding.
Jesus Christ almighty.
Let's go to break.
Yeah, let's go to break. Okay. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Dan's going to go kill a hooker.
Is the Bill Press Show. You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Are you burdened with $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Struggling to get your life in order? Let us help by settling your debt. Imagine living a stress-free lifestyle that you deserve. If you are currently working and can afford making monthly payments, call our professionals today for a no-obligation analysis. Call 1-800-240-DEBT. 1-800-240-3328. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you owe it to yourself and your family. Call Debt Free Stimulus today at 1-800-240-3328. The government is bailing out the banks. Now it's your turn. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt and are currently working but struggling to pay your bills, you may qualify for one of our partners' debt settlement programs. Call Debt-Free Stimulus today at 1-800-240-DEBT. 1-800-240-3328. Get your life back on track. You deserve it.
From Consumer Reports, indoor air pollution. I'm Reese France. The air inside our homes is often more of a problem than the air outdoors, even for city dwellers. Sources are many. A smoky fire in your fireplace, air fresheners you use to mask odors, a shedding pet, dust and dust mites in furniture, carpeting, and bedding, a poorly ventilated kitchen or bath, and more. This time of year, many folks have no choice but to hunker down indoors, so it's a good time to become vigilant about reducing indoor air pollution. Start by ventilating. Cooking, cleaning, using hairspray, and polishing nails can release volatile organic compounds linked to a variety of health problems. Poor ventilation can allow pollutants to stay in the air. Use exhaust hoods or fans in the kitchen and bathroom to reduce your exposure and to minimize humidity, a cause of mold and mildew. Before using your fireplace, make sure the damper is wide open. Eliminate don't mask odors. Find the source of bad smells and clean them up. Instead of air fresheners, use a box of baking soda in the area, if appropriate. Don't smoke or allow others to do so in your home or car. Vacuum often, ideally with a low emissions cleaner, and rethink pricey fixes. There's no proof cleaning ducts prevents health problems or that dirty ducts increase airborne particulates. And there's little medical evidence an air cleaner alone can ease allergies and asthma. So try low-cost solutions first. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
In our daily lives, we make many decisions. Life is made up of choices that may seem insignificant at the time, but add up and affect our lives in the biggest ways, like the health of your heart. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. Making the right choices can reduce your risk. Choose to see your doctor. Choose fresh, not fried. Choose to walk. Choose to live. Make the choice to beat heart disease at GoRedForWomen.org.
Listen to AM 760 on your cell phone. Just download the app at AM760.net.
Broadcasting live from the capital of the free world, this is the Bill Press Show.
It is the Bill Press Show. Just a few minutes ago here. Peter Ogburn sitting in. We'll be back tomorrow if the creek don't rise. The Bill will be back next week. Promise. What an exciting show tomorrow, by the way. Mr. Henning has lined up quite the show. And for that, I thank you. We'll be joined by Gloria Rubin, actress, currently on TNT's Raising the Bar, but you probably know her best from ER. We'll also be joined by one of our favorite guests, Will Durst, comedian, political satirist. He'll be joining the show tomorrow. And I'm very excited about this because I just saw this movie. Mark Boll is a writer for Rolling Stone. He is also the screenwriter for The Hurt Locker, which is just a phenomenal movie. I watched it while we were snowed in here in D.C. because I didn't have anything else to do. But boy, is it a good movie. I'm telling you, I think if I had to pick, I would say Avatar is going to win Best Picture. I think that's just sort of inevitable. But if anything's going to knock it off, it's going to be The Hurt Locker. It's such a good movie. And I'm sitting here going through the list of Best Picture nominees, by the way. Avatar will probably win. The Blind Side, I'm still stunned that was nominated.
Sandra.
Yeah, I'm not going to see that movie. And I always make a point to go see all the Best Pictures. I'm not going to go see The Blind Side. Why? Because I'm a dude. I mean, it looks like such a... anyway. So anyway, I'm excited for tomorrow's show. Please join us right here. Send us an email at BillPressShow.com. BillPressShow.com. While you're there, you can get my gumbo recipe. And you can also get yourself a podcast account. Buy a podcast account, BillPressShow.com. We'll be right back here tomorrow.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You can go f*** yourself.
Keep changing the way America buys windows. That's Windows America. No games, no gimmicks. Just a great window at a great price. Visit Windows America at the Colorado Garden and Home Show at the Colorado Convention Center February 13th through the 21st and get their home show special. Triple pane windows installed for only $349. Click on the banner ad right now, located on your Listen Live player, or visit WindowsAM.com. A proud member of Tom Martino's Troubleshooter Network. Windows America, a better way to buy windows.
Windows.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM 760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19. Only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. Just released evidence show there are still plenty of economic worries out there. The government says wholesale prices jumped at double the expected pace last month, and first-time claims for jobless benefits rose last week by 31,000. The week before that, they fell. Global Insight economist Nariman Baravesh.
We're still a ways away. I would say 2-3 months would be my best guess away from a situation where we're creating jobs rather than cutting jobs.
I'm Peter King. There are already some signs that things are getting better. Manufacturers bringing factory workers back to work, for example. 600 in the past 60 days for heavy equipment maker Caterpillar, according to the Wall Street Journal. And 80% of all companies that dropped matching 401k contributions are restoring them, according to the Washington Post. The Post says companies that stopped saved an average of $1,500 per worker per year, but that also cut down on employee contributions. Steve?
Walmart says its fourth quarter profit rose 22% as the retailer cut inventories and costs. Eight Americans held for 3 weeks in Haiti on child kidnapping charges are now in Miami, released on the condition they return if there are more questions.
I'm very happy about my wife coming home. There are two that are still there that we are still praying for to come home.
Eric Thompson says he and others will work to get the other two freed. The judge says he has more questions for them since they were in Haiti previously inquiring about orphans. Tiger Woods' first public comment since his personal life implosion will take place on familiar ground with a friendly audience tomorrow at the Florida home of the PGA. Steve Sands of the Golf Channel says everything will be under the microscope.
I think that people are going to judge the way he looks, how contrite he sounds, more so than they will judge the words he actually speaks.
Sands says he expects Woods will return to golf in time for the Masters. Legal trouble for a key figure in the Duke lacrosse case. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Police here in North Carolina have arrested the 33-year-old woman who falsely accused three former Duke University lacrosse players of raping her during a team party. Crystal Mangum is accused of assaulting her boyfriend by allegedly setting his clothes on fire and threatening him with a knife.
Karachi, Pakistan was where the Taliban's top military commander was seized last week. Today, Pakistani officials in that city arrested 9 Al-Qaeda militants. Hackers in China and Europe got into the computers of 2,500 companies and governments all over the globe over an 18-month period. David Perry of the antivirus software maker Trend Micro says getting justice in a case like this may be difficult, if not impossible.
It's a giant supermarket. The problem is it's messy. I can't point to one guy and say arrest him.
It seems many firms were able to head off any major damage, but there are still some that have no idea that any hacking has taken place. Wall Street before the bell, S&P futures are down about 5 points. This is CBS News.
Now at the Home Depot, save an instant $50 to $250 on in-stock bath products. Brands like Kohler and Moen. Just spend $500 or more to update your bathroom and remodel your thinking, too. Because by putting your savings back into your project, you can afford an even nicer bathroom. If you hurry in today for an instant savings of up to $250, more saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Introducing the new Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The only charge card that earns triple points on airfare, double points on gas and groceries, a single point on everything else. Points you can use for over 1 million rewards, including travel on any airline, anytime. The annual fee for the first year is on us, and you can earn 10,000 bonus points with your first purchase. Start earning brilliantly. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com to apply.
See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Medical marijuana advocates plan to protest recent drug raids during President Barack Obama's visit to Denver today. The president's in town campaigning for Senator Michael Bennet. This visit comes 2 days after a man who was allegedly growing over 200 marijuana plants in his Highlands Ranch home got busted by federal drug agents. The president's trip to Denver is to campaign for Senator Bennet. Bennett's facing a primary challenge from former Colorado House Speaker Andrew Romanoff. Colorado lawmakers are looking at their own expenses as they try to balance the state's budget. Lawmakers from outside the metro area get paid $150 a day to cover housing and meals while they're in town for the four-month session. That amount is set to rise to $191 a day in July, but legislative leaders from both parties want to forego that raise until 2012. That would save taxpayers about $238,000. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are in Cleveland tonight to play the Cavaliers. This is the team's first game since Coach George Karl announced that he's battling neck and throat cancer. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where there are no highway crashes to get in your way. We have a surface street accident in 13th and Lincoln. But as far as those main roads go, southbound I-25 loading up and slowing down 120th towards 84th. Speeds will dip down into the 20s in spots through that stretch. Southbound 225 also dragging a bit after that Parker curve up towards I-25. Looks like 270 also getting crowded across Commerce City, especially on the eastbound side approaching Vasquez. Quick check on today's forecast. We do have a chance of seeing some snow today, most likely after 11 a.m. to go along with those cloudy skies and a high of only 40 degrees. Currently, it's 28. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
The Kohl's Kids Who Care Scholarship Program will recognize more than 2,000 real kids with scholarships and prizes. Nominate a stand-up kid at kohlskids.com by March 15th. This weekend, get 20% off over-the-counter medications at Rite Aid, 20% off allergy, cold, and sinus, stomach remedies, and pain care. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Rite Aid. Valid on regularly priced in-store purchases only while supplies last. $10 minimum purchase required, no rain checks.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
706 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Big day in Colorado, at least politically. President Obama in town to campaign for Michael Bennet and raise money for Michael Bennet. Michael Bennet making news at his debate with Andrew Romanoff, the former Speaker of the House, a couple nights ago, when they debated in their first U.S. Senate Democratic primary debate. Bennett now making news rejecting Romanoff's request for him to stop accepting PAC money, for him to agree to some campaign finance limits. Of course, President Obama coming in again to raise money for Bennett. And the first question of the hour is whether you think President Obama is right or wrong to be coming to Colorado today to pick sides in a Democratic primary. And will it affect your vote? I mean, does this sway your vote to know that the head of the Democratic Party, the President of the United States, strongly supports Michael Bennet against Andrew Romanoff? 303-713-7600. We're going to be talking to Andrew Romanoff at 720 to get his take on this. Some of his supporters have said that the president shouldn't be choosing sides in a Democratic primary, so we're going to talk to him at 720. Then at 8, we're going to be joined by Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer. His organization uncovered a letter from one of Mayor John Hickenlooper's appointees to the Denver Marijuana Policy Review Panel, in which Hickenlooper's appointee calls marijuana the scourge of the earth and a cancer. And Colorado Safer is calling for Mayor Hickenlooper to replace this person on the Denver Marijuana Policy Review Panel. And it's once again raising the issue of drug policy reform in the upcoming gubernatorial race. Then at 9, we're going to be joined by Reverend Jim Wallace, he's got a new book out called Rediscovering Values on Wall Street, Main Street, and Your Street. And we've rescheduled our interview with Greg Campbell, the author of Blood Diamonds. That's at 9:30. His new book, Flawless, Inside the Largest Diamond Heist in History. So again, a big day today here in Colorado, politically, President Obama in town. And the lead story in the Denver Post is that Democrats are losing their grip on the Mountain West. That President Obama 18 months ago said that the Mountain West would be the place of a Democratic resurgence. And now the story is that just 1 year into President Obama's term, Democrats look like they are losing ground in the West. And that's why I asked the question, I wonder whether this is going to help Michael Bennett or not. I could see it go. I could see it either way. I could see it alienating some voters. I could see it bringing some voters into the fore for Bennett. I it's hard to know. And I know there's been a lot of anger among Romanoff supporters who say the president shouldn't be choosing sides here. I'm of two minds at this. I mean, I think the president has every right to express who he wants to, who he supports in this race. But I also think that the White House and that, you know, political parties in general are not all that comfortable with democracy. And that I would prefer them stay out. I would prefer them say, hey, we trust Colorado Democrats in their primary to choose the right nominee. And Bennett's got a strong case. Romanoff got a strong case to make on that score. A recent Rasmussen poll shows him doing better against likely Republican nominee Jane Norton than Bennett. Jane Norton, of course, has released a new ad on the eve of President Obama's visit here. I think we have the audio. Turk, do we have the audio for that? I can't see Turk, so I don't know. Yeah, he's got the audio. So he's going to pull up the audio. We'll play that for you. The other story, okay, he's got it. Let's just play the audio of Jane Norton's ad. This is an ad by Republican senatorial candidate Jane Norton on the eve of President Obama's visit here to Colorado today.
Mr. President, as a candidate, you came to Denver and promised to go through the federal budget, eliminating programs that no longer work. You've done just the opposite. Massive spending and debt. It's ruining our economy, and it's wrong. Mr. President, you should pledge to balance the budget or else decline to seek re-election. That'd be change we could believe in. I'm Jane Norton. I approve this message. Let's stand up, Colorado.
That's what's so ridiculous about that. I mean, I keep saying to people, by the way, that Jane Norton, every time I hear her, every time I see her, she seems like a completely incoherent person. Like, she doesn't strike me as the brightest star in the sky, to put it mildly. She seems like, frankly, like kind of an idiot. And that ad is kind of idiotic. Because she has opposed, and the Republican Party has opposed, every tax reform that might close the budget gap. And, you know, you can tell what she's trying to do. She's trying to get attention to herself. She's trying to use the Obama visit to draw attention to herself. She's got a serious primary of her own facing Ken Buck. But I got to tell you something. These people on the right, Scott McGinnis criticizing the legislature for basic tax reform while not offering up his own plan to balance the budget. Jane Norton opposing every tax reform effort while criticizing President Obama for trying to criticizing President Obama as supposedly not trying to balance the budget. Of course, President Obama's budget has some tax increases, and rightly so, on the wealthy. This just off the wire this morning, speaking of tax increases, just to give you a sense of how distorted our political debate remains on the issue of taxes. This is from David K. Johnston, the Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter. The incomes of the top 400 American households soared to a new record high in dollars as a share of all income, while the income tax rates they paid fell to a record low, newly disclosed tax data shows. In 2007, the top 400 taxpayers had an average income of $344 million, up 31% from their average of $263 million in income in 2006, according to figures in a report that the IRS posted to its website without announcement and that were discovered February 16th. The figures came at the peak of the last economic cycle and show that widely published reports in major newspapers asserting that the richest Americans are losing relative ground and, quote, becoming poorer, are not supported by the official income data. Check this out. The long-term data show that under current tax and economic rules, the incomes of the top earners rise when the economy expands and contract during recessions only to rise again. This is the key. Their effective income tax rate fell to 16.6%, down more than half a percentage point from 17.1% in 2006. So people making an average of $344 million, the top 400 richest households who make an average of $344 million, are paying just 16% as an effective income tax rate. And yet the Tea Party people, Jane Norton, Scott McGinnis, they say we still can't have a discussion in this country about taxes. It is really, really unbelievable, even for them. We are approaching third world style economic inequality in this country, and the right continues to say that we cannot have a discussion on taxes. And this is one of the areas that I have been supportive of what the president's trying to do. In his budget, his efforts to slightly raise taxes on people making over 250 grand a year cuts right to the heart of this problem. And the Democrats in the legislature here, they are doing the right thing by taking $2.2 billion worth of corporate tax loopholes, corporate tax subsidies that you and I pay for, that the average person pays for, and saying, you know what, we're going to get rid of just 6% of those because we got a major budget crisis here. And again, it cuts right to the heart of this new data that came out today. You can find it. It's on my blog at openleft.com. 716 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. President Obama in town today to campaign for incumbent, well, appointed Senator Michael Bennett. What do you think about that? Do you think it's going to help Bennett, hurt him? Does it change your vote? Does it sway you? Does it make you want to support Bennett more, or does it piss you off? Does it make you annoyed at the White House for to pick the winner in the Democratic primary? 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600. We got open lines. Up next, Michael Bennett's opponent, Andrew Romanoff. He's going to respond to some charges that Bennett threw out there yesterday on this show on AM 760. Stick around for that after a traffic update with John Turp.
Good morning, Dave. We do see some heavier traffic building for us. Southbound I-25. No surprise. Seems like I talk about this every morning. Southbound side 120th to 84. Speed's already in the 30s there. Also heavy from I-70 past Spear Boulevard. Also gaining eastbound 270 between 25 and Vasquez. We do have one accident. It's on the ramp from Colorado to southbound I-25. Also seeing things get busy in Westminster on the turnpike eastbound side, Federal down to Broadway. Your forecast today, mostly cloudy skies, afternoon snow, which will be heavier in the mountains. Look for 2 to 4 inches in Denver when this wraps up around noon on Friday. Highs today around 37 degrees, right now 31. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
That's Peter Baruch, Senior Compliance Director for the Business Software Alliance.
One out of every five software programs is stolen in the U.S. Consider what would happen to the challenged auto industry if one out of every five cars was stolen. Report software piracy. It's the right thing to do.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BS.
Do you really think all batteries are the same? Or do you think one stands out from the rest? The Duracell Copper Top.
And while you get what you pay for, usually holds true. Now with Duracell, you can actually get more than you pay for. Because now the most popular packs of our AA and AAAs give you 20% more batteries for the same price. After all, when it comes to good value, it just has to work. Always reliable, always efficient. Duracell Smart Power. Trusted everywhere.
Community shows up here every day. If this was your ad, we'd be listening to it right now. Why not advertise on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk? Go to am760.net, keyword advertise.
Save money with Bargain Watch at am760.net. This week, get a $50 Max Grill and Grill gift certificate for only $25. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town, brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at am760.net.
This weekend, get 20% off over-the-counter medications at Rite Aid. 20% off allergy, cold, and sinus, stomach remedies, and pain care. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Rite Aid. Valid on regularly priced in-store purchases only while supplies last. $10 minimum purchase required, no rain checks.
What this country needs right now is a new bailout, right? Let's put a new tax on something and then send money to people who don't really need it. That'll work. This time, they want to put a new tax on every song played on the radio. And who gets a pile of money? Giant record companies, most of which are in foreign countries. Tell your members of Congress to stop the radio performance tax. That's why the National Association of Broadcasters and Radio Station are airing this message. Stop the radio tax.
/7:20 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. President Obama in state today, in Denver today, to campaign for Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett and Andrew Romanoff, the former House Speaker, had their first debate of the 2010 Democratic primary season a couple days ago. And then yesterday we had on Joe Trippi, who is a strategist, campaign strategist for Andrew Romanoff, was the campaign manager for Howard Dean in 2004. And Joe Trippi and Michael Bennett on this show kind of went back and forth, not right at the same time, but we had Bennett on, we also had Trippi on, and Andrew Romanoff now is joining us to discuss what was discussed that then, yesterday, and at the debate. Mr. Speaker, yesterday Joe Trippi, who's a part of your campaign, said that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but said that this election is basically a referendum on the influence of big money in elections, and said that Michael Bennett effectively represents the status quo of big money. It seemed to me, it struck me as a step up of the rhetoric, a turning up of the volume. Do you agree that Michael Bennett represents, or in voters' minds, should represent big money, the status quo? Is that how we should be looking at Michael Bennett?
Well, first, thanks for having me on, David. And I say this, you know, every single member of the Senate who doesn't stand up and become part of the solution is, by definition, I think, part of the problem. So I offered my opponent a chance at our debate the other night to join me. We could have become the first two candidates, I believe, in a primary in America, at least this year, to turn down the corporate cash that's corrupting Congress. He declined to do that and instead chose to use his time attacking me, which I thought was disappointing. So look, you know, I'm not a perfect messenger, but I've recognized after 8 years of leadership in the State House and after watching the Senate become a wholly owned subsidiary of the industries it's supposed to be regulating, that what we're doing doesn't work. And one of the big reasons we're not getting the health reform we need, the financial reform we need, the energy policy reform we need, is in part because Congress has become captive to the special interests that subsidize its campaigns. And as you know, and have said, I think yourself, the Supreme Court just made that problem a whole lot worse.
Absolutely. Now Michael Bennett would say, and we asked him about this, and I said to him, I said, you know, you have not agreed to the challenge by the Romanoff campaign not to take PAC money, and he said, well, look, first of all, you got to look at my record. I mean, he did this letter this week about the public option, saying that he wants Congress to use a more confrontational procedure known as reconciliation to pass the public option. He said that that his record is not a record in the Senate of voting with special interests. And then he also told the Colorado Independent this morning, he said, quote, about the campaign money issue, quote, I think it would be exceptionally difficult for any statewide candidate to win a race that is a targeted race without raising the money that is needed to hold a seat, a Senate seat like this, especially after the recent Supreme Court case. So so a two-part question for you is, one, has Michael Bennett cast any votes that show that we should see as, in your opinion, as a vote with the special interests? And secondly, is he right or wrong about the need to raise money, a lot of money, for the general election?
And those are excellent questions, so let me try to see if I can do them justice briefly. First, you know, the Senate Banking Committee, including my opponent, did have a chance to stand up to special interests last spring and stand with consumers by supporting Senator Schumer in his effort to help homeowners avoid foreclosure. My opponent, along with the rest of the, at least majority of the Senate Banking Committee, said no. That committee obviously has been subsidized by the banking industry. My opponent, I think, is number five on the list of beneficiaries of Wall Street cash. So I think every candidate in this race is going to have to explain how he or she reaches decisions. But the chance to take leadership, it seems to me, is not after these deals are cut or the die is cast. You know, in healthcare, we needed leadership last fall and last summer, for that matter. Instead, the insurance company killed the public option, took a single-payer plan off the table. The drug industry cut a deal, protecting its own profits. And any member of the majority party could have stood up and said no. Nobody did, and not when it counted. It's fashionable, I know, to blame the Republicans, but they're still in the minority. We're in charge, and we should act that way. And with respect to the second question that you're asking, does money make the whole difference in a race? Well, I think if that were the case, you know, Pete Kors would be running for re-election to this seat right now. I got outspent, I think, in 2009 by a factor of 10 to 1. I gave my opponent an eight-month head start. He's got the entire national political establishment and all the special interests in the world subsidizing his campaign. And in spite of that, I do 7 points better than he does against the Republican front runner.
And you're referring, of course, to the recent Rasmussen poll, which does show that. Now, again, on the line with us is former House Speaker Andrew Romanoff. He is running against appointed Senator Michael Bennett in this 2010 Democratic primary. Now, I've got to ask you this question. So are you saying right now that if you would have been in the Senate at the time that the public option free, the Lieberman gutted health care bill, the insurance industry gutted health care bill, got to the Senate for a final vote, you would have voted no? This was a vote about a couple months ago.
Yeah, this came up actually just a couple nights ago as well, and I think it's a false choice. What I would have done, and what I said then, and what I'm telling you now, is I would have told the Senate leadership, and as you can tell, I'm not shy of taking them on when I think they're wrong. I would have said, look, if you want my vote to put this package forward, you've got to take the pork out, put the public option back in, and remove the antitrust exemption for the insurance industry. We see what happens when a senator stands up, for better or worse. We saw what happened, for example, when Ben Nelson cut a deal that let Nebraska off the hook for Medicaid. We saw what happened when Mary Landrieu negotiated a second Louisiana purchase. So we've learned, I think, that every single Senate seat matters and that a senator can do what's right for his or her state. And it seems to me a senator could also do what's right for the United States.
But if I recall correctly, and we can go back, but I recall interviewing you right around the time of that on this show. And I, if I'm not mistaken, didn't you say that you would have voted to at least move the bill forward into a conference committee?
This is what I'm saying. It's a false choice to suggest that the only choice you've got is to kill the bill or accept the status quo. I think it's important to hold out for what you want. And you're right. I think at the end of the day, what you need to do, I think, in America today is move healthcare reform forward. But the leadership that was missing in the Senate last fall, the leadership I would offer in the Senate when I get there next year, is to stand up to the party leadership and fight for the principles that we hold dear.
Again, on the line with us is former House Speaker Andrew Romanoff. President Obama in town today to campaign for his opponent in the Democratic primary here. There are going to be a lot of people who are going to be of a lot of different minds of President about President Obama's visit today. There's a lot of core Democrats who are going to say, you know what, if Michael Bennett is the president's man, then Michael Bennett is my guy. There's going to be some people who are saying that that President Obama shouldn't intervene in the Democratic primary here in Colorado. Why do you think President Obama has decided to intervene or to try to back one candidate in this Democratic primary? And if you think he's wrong, why?
Well, look, I respect the president, and I campaigned for him last fall, not with the expectation that he would return the favor. I haven't answered your earlier point. I mean, I haven't met hardly any Coloradans who say, well, that's it, I'm done. The independent judgment that I was going to exercise in this race is over. I'm just going to fall in line. I mean, this is a state of fiercely independent voters. There are 3 million of them in Colorado, including 1 million Democrats. They deserve a chance to pick a U.S. senator. It seems to me that's exactly what we'll get to do. I just want to make one other point, because I think it's lost in this debate. You know, what's at stake here is not just my job or anybody else's. It's the jobs of 200,000 Coloradans who are now unemployed. The healthcare debate that we're having is literally a matter of life and death. And too often I think folks in Congress get seduced by special interests and more interested in their own job security than in ours. That's a mistake.
Last question for you. If you make it to the general election, what issues do you think are going to be front and center? And specifically, how concerned are you about the prospect of a very big and very heated tax debate going on in this state? We've got a tax debate now happening in the gubernatorial race. We've got a tax debate potentially happening at the federal level with President Obama's budget. Jane Norton's new commercial kind of raises that issue in terms of the balanced budget. Are you worried about that? Do you think that's where it's going, or where do you think it's going?
I think what's front and center is going to be jobs, health care, energy policy reform, and how to balance the budget. I've got to speak up right now, but I would hope to come back and join you next half an hour or tomorrow.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
All right. That was former House Speaker Andrew Romanoff. President Obama, of course, in town today to campaign for his opponent, appointed Senator Michael Bennett. We're going to open up the phones, 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600. Do you think the president is right or wrong to come into Colorado and intervene in a Democratic primary, backing one candidate over another? Why do you think the president's doing this? Do you think it's good for Michael Bennett or bad for Michael Bennett? Do you think it's a death blow for former House Speaker Andrew Romanoff? And I'm curious, if you back one of these two candidates in the U.S. Senate race, why do you back them? What is motivating your vote? 731 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I've got about one open line right now, 303-713-7600. Up next, we'll also fill you in on the Chamber of Commerce attacking now Democrats in the Colorado legislature for moving to try to close the budget gap by getting rid of some of those corporate tax exemptions. We'll fill you in on that. Also, a debate in the legislature over gift cards. Are gift cards being used to rip off consumers? We'll fill you in on that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thanks, Dave. Traffic is not so bad for us this morning. Southbound I-25 full in the usual spots. North Glen, Thornton, near downtown. Northbounders, small struggles once you get past DU trying to get into downtown. Stop and go though right now in Aurora, southbound side of 225 from Parker Road all the way down to the Tech Center. One crash, it's on the ramp from Colorado Boulevard to southbound I-25. And we're seeing things build on 76 now in Commerce City. From 74th Avenue down to 270. If you're going into the high country today, you might hit some icy spots on I-70 between Georgetown up past Vail into Eagle. Forecast, mostly cloudy and cold, afternoon snow and highs in the mid-30s. Tonight's snow showers will pick up, bringing 2 to 4 inches of accumulation to the Front Range by midday Friday when the storm winds down. Right now, 31 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
If you sell your gold through the mail to some out-of-town stranger, you're getting ripped off. Take it to Fast Cash, and you'll get 40% more in cash and on the spot. Want to get what your gold's really worth? Get a quote from Fast Cash before you sell. Visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
Turn right in one half mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now. But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides me step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund, guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money-back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
Oh, we're your one-stop shop. Why go anywhere else? Save time, save money. That's the Tanner Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Denver Merchandise Mart at I-25 and 58th Avenue. Concealed carry permit classes available at the show. Go to TannerGunShow.com.
Results may vary. Additional products and services will be offered for sale.
This is not your father's economy. The old standards of working one job and putting money away towards retirement no longer apply. Today, success or failure depends on your financial IQ. You need to attend a free Rich Dad Education Workshop in Denver and Boulder. Based on the teachings from the best-selling book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, this 90-minute event will show you how to survive and build security during these hard economic times. We teach why your house is not an asset. You may not want to diversify. You may not want to invest in 401ks or mutual funds. Saving money will never make you rich. These are just some of Rich Dad's teachings that will change the way you think about money. Attend this free Rich Dad Education training, Monday, February 22nd through Wednesday, the 24th. Reserve your place now at richdadeducation.com or call 800-489-4213. Register now and receive a free gift just for attending. 800-489-4213. That's 800-489-4213.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents Mike Rowe talking about the right time to have your vehicle serviced.
Oh, I don't know. I guess now would be good.
Now Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships have the Works Fuel Saver package. Oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
So then, right now.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service. Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating dealership or visit GenuineService.com for mailing rebate details through 3/27/10.
Just tell me, is it now?
It's now, Mike.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Can't say that I'm shocked about this one, but the Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce now attacking Representative Jack Palmer, who we had on this show yesterday, the Democrat from Boulder. Palmer had said that businesses don't care about Colorado. They care about their own profits first. I think that's really a statement of fact. And the Denver Chamber of Commerce attacked him. This is on the Denver Post website. The chamber's president, by the way, former chief of staff to John Hickenlooper, said, quote, "This year's budget debate at the state capitol has frayed nerves and decorum. Tempers are short and language is heated. Perhaps it's a sign of passion we all feel for this great state. With that said, I feel it's critical to respond to Representative Palmer's remarks. Representative Palmer, your statement is false, and I will take you at your word that you regret making the comment. Business is composed of Colorado citizens. It's not a faceless corporation," said the Denver Chamber of Commerce. "Any of us who go to work each day outside the public sector, 84% of Coloradans, are business." See, this is the standard sleight of hand, right? There's a difference between when you're talking about corporations and when you're talking about the people who work in corporations. It is a statement of fact that corporations, in their business mission, do not care about the state of Colorado. Legally, they cannot care about the state of Colorado. Under federal and state law, under their charter, they cannot care about anything other than making as much money as possible. That's just a statement of fact. And when somebody dares to say that, of course, you get the Chamber of Commerce saying, "Oh, this is a terrible thing to say. How dare anybody say this?" And then, as you see here in the Denver Post, they say, business is made up of people. Well, it's true. Sure. The people who work at many businesses, they do care about their community. But as a matter of public policy, when Democrats in the legislature are legislating tax policy for business, they have to consider the mission statement of business, not that there might be some individuals who run some companies who are nice people. They've got to take into account that the mission of the business is to make as much money as possible, regardless of what happens to the state of Colorado. That's why we have a government, right? We have a government that make sure that that unbridled profit motive that is embedded into every corporation doesn't run roughshod over the rest of society. And I'm sure this back and forth is going to continue. As I said, this tax debate now, I think, is going to take center stage in this election at this federal, in the Senate race, and at the state level as well. Let's go to the phones. President Obama in town today here in Denver to campaign for Michael Bennett in this Senate race, in this primary. What do you think about this? Does this make you more willing, more likely to support Senator Bennett? Or do you think Andrew Romanoff's campaign is right that the president shouldn't be intervening in a Democratic primary here in Colorado? 303-713-7600. We'll go to the phones. Let's go to Josh in Arvada. Josh, you're on AM760.
Hey, Dave. You know, I'm thinking, I'm with the Romanoff guys that the president shouldn't be messing with this one. As far as Bennett, you know, I was happy he wrote this letter, and that made me, you know, less angry about you know, last year when he decided on with Wall Street on the foreclosure stuff. But you know, I'm at the point where, you know, I'm not really all the way in Romanoff's camp, but I think the president did this because he just likes to he likes the status quo as far as people are concerned. He wants to be conciliatory and nice and support everybody who's there already. And, you know, he wouldn't go after Grassley, so why would he go after Bennett? Or why would he stay out of it?
And it's an interesting point that you make, which is that I think that's the perception out there now, which is that the candidate of hope and change has become in many ways the candidate of the status quo. That it's not really shocking that the president is backing an incumbent, knowing what we know now 1 year into his term. What is shocking, if you step back and you take the 30,000-foot view and you say, you know, Barack Obama is the president because he ran as a challenger in a contested Democratic primary, both, by the way, for the Senate and for the presidency, that had the powers that be come in and tried to crush his candidacy, which in many ways they did when he ran for the Senate, when he ran for the presidency, that he would have been the first person saying, hey, we got to let the voters decide. So there is an irony there. There is an irony there, but I agree with you. In the first year, he has been somebody who has more often than not sided with who is there already, sided with the status quo already, rather than try to challenge that. It's a good point. Hey, Josh, thanks for the call. Bruce and Greeley. Bruce, you're on AM760.
How are you doing?
All right.
I really enjoy your show.
Thanks, man.
First thing, let me say that one thing. I agree with Josh. He made me laugh. But I voted for Obama. And him coming here, and I'm back in Romanoff. Him coming here, he's got a choice. He can do that. I don't care. Because the voters are what's going to matter. We need to choose the right person to get in there. Bennett's made mistakes.
What mistakes do you think he's made?
Well, he's taken PAC money from corporations, for one thing. That's the biggest thing that I think he's made.
Now, I'll tell you this on that issue, and I want people to know this. The chatter in Democratic circles among the Democratic operatives that I know I'll let you continue, Bruce, but the chatter is that Romanoff hasn't taken PAC money because Romanoff couldn't raise PAC money because the White House, because President Obama, because the Democratic establishment is so much behind Bennett that they've effectively frozen Romanoff out of the big money. And so some chatter, some Democrats say, well, the only reason Romanoff has taken this pledge is because he can't raise that kind of money anyway.
But that's what you really believe.
That's not what I necessarily believe. I'm just telling you that's what's out there.
You think that he's made that promise just solely because he can't do it?
Look, I've worked on campaigns before. It's kind of like a mix of self-interest and there's it, let's put it this way. If you can't do something that's unpopular anyway, if you can't reap a move that is in part unpopular, if there's reasons, structural reasons that you can't do it, you'll say, all right, I'm not going to do it, and I'm going to criticize my opponent for doing it. Right, I'm not saying it's not a principled stand. What the chatter among some Democrats is that Romanoff, had he been the front runner, had he been the appointee, to the U.S. Senate seat, that he'd be raising PAC money. I don't know. I mean, you can't, nobody can see the future, right? Nobody can predict, nobody can say with certainty that, because it's an all, it's a reality that doesn't exist. But I'm just telling you, that's the chatter that's out there.
I totally agree with you on that one. But as far as the PAC money goes, that's just one thing. And Ben, I have to say one thing for him. He did come out for this public option. Okay, he surprised me on that one. But most of his votes has been Blue Dog. So, you know, growing up, because I think he really intends to make a change for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of people are with Romanoff, that Bennett, look, I think Bennett has been, frankly, a much better senator than I had expected him to be. I was expecting him to be Senator Jellyfish. I was expecting him to be Mark Udall, right? And he has been, I think, a lot better than Mark Udall. And after the break, I will fill you in on a story about how we know how much better he is than Mark Udall. But I agree with you. I think that the message of Romanoff's campaign is, look, I'm more in touch with regular people. I really understand how much regular people despise the Senate as an institution. And I think that's a very powerful message right now. Hey, Bruce, thanks for the call. Let's go to Art in Denver. Art, you're on AM 760.
Hi, Dave.
Hey.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's going to benefit Bennett at all. I think, unfortunately, the Obama presidency is going to look like an insignificant factor in the Democratic Party's history. Now, the only thing good, and I'm going to say this, is that, you know, the fact that Obama is a black man and the black history thing, he can be something to be proud of. Unfortunately, the only thing that I'm going to remember out of this presidency during the campaign is the ABC formula of the conservatives, is that I live in Alaska, I can see Russia, therefore I'm qualified. you know, there's just a maintaining the status quo feeling that I'm getting from President Obama. I think I could have got a lot better. We could have done a lot better with James Earl Jones as a president than Obama.
Well, I certainly don't know about that. I mean, I think that's taking it a little too far. But I do agree with you that again, the feeling I think surrounding the White House right now is that people feel like this White House represents far more the status quo than it certainly promised during the election, and that is what Andrew's banking on. Hey, Art, thanks for the call. All right, up next, again, I'll fill you in on this story from the Grand Junction Sentinel about Mark Udall, our other senator on health care, and how it really draws a contrast between himself and Michael Bennett on the public option. The question of this first hour, President Obama in Denver today to campaign for appointed Senator Michael Bennett. Do you think that helps or hurts Michael Bennett? Do you think the president should be intervening in this Democratic primary? Do you think he should stay out? Does it make you more or less likely to support Bennett in the election because President Obama is here? 303-713-7600. Also, after the break, I'm going to play you this little clip of just straight out of the Hollywood craziness. Hollyweird. Gary Coleman, Turk flagged this for me this morning. Gary Coleman freaking out on television. It's pretty hilarious. I mean, he really sort of busts out. It's pretty funny.
So his, you know, if his reputation hadn't had a shot before, listen to this audio.
Yeah, this audio is really, it's really pretty funny and pretty telling. So stick around for that, and we'll take more of your calls. 303-713-7600 after a traffic update.
Thank you, Dave. We do have a new crash. Southbound 225. It's in the center lane. That's causing some major, major problems. Delays all the way back past Iliff, approaching Mississippi. And they are the single-digit kind, not the kind you like. So if you can hop off at 225 and make your way to I-25 or to the tech center, some other way, you might be advised to do so. Also in the south end, we're busy. Eastbound C-470, Hamden to 285. Again, from Broadway to, from Morrison Road to 285. Again, from Broadway to University. Also seeing westbounders snagging there, Quincy up to around 285. Also busy on the turnpike, westbound side, Sheridan to Church Ranch. Your forecast today,
mostly cloudy skies, afternoon snow, which will be heavier up in the high country. Look for 2 to 4 inches here in the metro. This will wrap up around Friday. Highs today around 37, right now 31 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Executive MBA classes at the University of Denver's top-ranked Daniels College of Business start in March. Learn more. Contact Lisa Grassfield today at 303-871-4447. That's 303-871-4447.
Hey, music folks, made against you if I don't agree with them. To me, this is wrong. You think public universities are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas, but you're one place for that. Wouldn't happen, but it does. Every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of injustice. If you're a Christian, have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because you're... Please contact speedupmovement.org or text speedup to 411-247.
Mr. TV and speaking on behalf of the TV and Megan, I'm at the Digital Love Comcast. I'm talking about the Comcast Digital TV package. You're going to love the price, $29.99 a month for 6 months for the Digital Channel.
Every TV wants plus listen edition and a love free HBO for 6 months. That's all the channels of HBO and HBO on demand, including the premiere of the new epic, the Pacific. You'll get Discovery, Food Network, Optic, Tupac Sports, and Animal Planet, plus your local channels, and View On Demand for $29.99 a month for 6 months. And I mentioned free HBO for 6 months. It's a great...
Yellow TV, White Hart Comcast, Sunday, March 7th. Your TV will thank you.
Restrictions apply to rural areas. Limited to new residential customers. After promotion, very regular rates apply. Button passes and franchise fees.
Extra. Call Comcast for details.
The next thing is Power Sports Fanatic Larry. He has a passion for motorcycle close LREs. His second passion is saving money, so he reviews.
Everything, including food.
You make it sound gross.
He uses fast food grease to power his car.
Everything smells like fries.
And reuses toothpaste.
It's not good if you're squished.
But you
have going down. There are strategies to protect and build your portfolio. 303-694-1600 for the team of Presidential Brokers. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Jason.
Thanks, Dave.
It's quite a proposition when you think about it. You contact GEICO and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. 15 minutes, simple as that. Something they've been doing for over 70 years. You want car insurance and you want extra money in your wallet, done and done. Now, not only do you have some nice car insurance, you've got plenty of money to spend on some tasty biscuits. Or flowers for your mum. Or whatever it is you fancy.
GEICO. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
And now, two more facts you didn't know. Fact 1. Kangaroos cannot walk backwards. Fact 2. When you have GEICO auto insurance, you could save even more by letting GEICO help you with your homeowner's or renter's insurance. Call GEICO or visit geico.com today to see how much our new multi-policy discount could save you. Want to see me walk backwards? Whoops. I'm okay.
Now the world don't move to the beat of this one drum.
751 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I just want to play you this little clip of Gary Coleman, of all people. Gary Coleman, who was Arnold, of course, on Different Strokes. He has been accused of domestic violence against his wife, and he did this interview yesterday. Who is this with, Turk? This is Inside Edition, right? Okay, so he did this interview with Inside Edition, and he absolutely freaked out. So just for a little step away from politics for a second, I just want to play you this audio. You got to hear him freaking out. Here it is.
You know what? If people would want to believe that I assault my wife at 4'7" and she's 5'6", then they can believe that all day long. I don't care.
Well, why don't you flat out deny it then, right here? Because otherwise, everyone's going to look at this and say he's waffling around and he probably did it.
I don't waffle. There is no abuse that goes on in my house. I don't waffle. Now, if people believe that I'm waffling, then they can go do what they
need
to do.
Did you abuse your wife? Did you abuse her? Did you lay your hand
and
on her?
You know what? You can go to the same place.
Did you lay your hands on your wife, Gary Coleman? Because she says you did.
And drown yourself in the ocean.
She says you did.
You know what? I have this on my head because I fell down the stairs. I don't want people thinking that my wife is abusing
me. Why don't you
want
to answer the question about whether you abused
your
wife? And everything else. Pardon me?
You can go yourself.
Really?
And quit asking me.
Is that the way you talk to your wife?
Yes, I have to, if I need to, but I don't. And I don't know you, and I don't care about
and
you.
And is this the kind
and
of anger that leads to your physical assault?
Doesn't matter to me.
Let me tell you,
so
I'm going to
life you
to
drown tonight or get hit by a bus tonight.
Hey,
I'm not going to care because she's pushing my buttons, and I don't like her now. And the next thing
why
I'm going to do
tonight?
Is leave. So all of you.
So that was Gary Coleman.
Gary, come back.
No.
He leaves the set. Gary Coleman having a complete televised meltdown. Pretty funny.
I used to live in Highlands Ranch, Dave.
He did?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. Are
when
you
was,
serious?
Yeah, when I was in high school, we used to see him down at the bowling alley at like University and
Gary
County
Coleman
Line.
Lived in Highlands?
Yeah.
Not, I
he drove
not.
Around in a little yellow Honda Prelude. And you couldn't approach him, man. I mean, we always want to go be like, hey, Gary, you know, can we get an autograph? You want to play a frame of, you know, bowling? Let's go bowling.
I mean, it's Gary Coleman.
Yeah.
Like really famous.
You could not go anywhere near him.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Well, he freaked out there. So
he sure did.
Just want to play you that clip. Back to healthcare here. Michael Bennett is having President Obama in town today to campaign for him. And we've been discussing whether that helps him or hurts him. And some people have raised the idea that Bennett has been better on healthcare of late. And I said that Bennett has been better than I expected. I thought he was going to be a Mark Udall, and he has been much better than Mark Udall. Here's a good example. This is from the Grand Junction Sentinel today. Now, Senator Udall said he's open to advancing a measure that would establish public option health insurance providers in high-cost areas or regions deemed lacking in competition. The public option Udall envisions wouldn't be a nationwide provider, but would be established to provide local competition. And the Sentinel notes that Udall is not quite as far along, that's a nice way of putting it, as his colleague, Senator Bennett, who earlier this week asked that the Senate move forward on a national public option. Now, I thought Michael Bennett would be a weasel like Mark Udall. That's a weasel move right there by Mark Udall. Oh, I'm for the public option, but not a real public option. Right? I thought Bennett would be like that, and he hasn't been like that, and it's been to my surprise. So we're going to open up the phones, 303-713-7600. The president in town today in the state to campaign for Michael Bennett. Is that a good move by the president, a bad move? Does it make you more supportive of Bennett, less supportive? Do you think the president should be intervening in a Democratic primary? Rob in Centennial. Rob, you're on AM 760.
Hey, yeah, I'll chime in quickly on the Bennett-Romanoff deal. As an independent who supported Obama in the election, and with the way his stimulus plans and things like that went, I think that it actually hurts Michael Bennett in this situation. But the real reason I was calling was with regards to your health care question is I'm wondering if the guys that the Democratic Party feels that there is going to be any type of class warfare that will come out of the average American who does not work for organized labor, who will be taxed when organized labor is getting a pass on the premiums.
Right. There's two issues in that. I mean, you're talking about the deal that the Senate Democrats and the president cut to exempt union workers' collectively bargained contracts, at least up until I think it was 2013, from this special excise tax. Now, I think this excise tax is really not acceptable in the sense that for union workers or any other workers, I think that if you're going to pay for this thing, I think one of the ways you should pay for it is by, and we talked about this months ago, by an income tax surcharge on people making over $1 million. You can do that just as easily. Instead, the president, for whatever reason, seems to be afraid to antagonize extremely rich people and so wants to put a tax on regular working middle-class people. The unions have gotten themselves something of a carve-out here. I don't think that – I think that I don't agree with that in the sense that I think that the entire tax is not okay as a concept and that just carving one group out from another is really not all that acceptable. That said, to your question about whether I think Democrats are worried about class warfare, look, Rob, class warfare has been going on in this country for the last 30 or 40 years. The richest people in this country have been waging a very, very vicious and nasty class war on the rest of us. I just read out the new data from the IRS today. The top 400 taxpayers in this country make an average of $350 million a year and have seen their tax rates go down to the lowest in American history. They pay 16% of their income as an effective income tax rate. I don't know about you, but that's a way lower tax rate than I pay as a middle-class Coloradan. And I'm sure it's a way lower tax rate than you pay if you're a middle-class Coloradan. Maybe you're one of the people making $350 million a year. I'm guessing you're not. But my point here is there already is a class war going on. It's a class war from the rich against the rest of us. It's going on. The data shows it's going on. And I think the Democrats need to fight it the other way, not joining with the rich. All right, stick around. Up next, Mayor Hickenlooper, is he trying to crush your medical marijuana rights? We'll fill you in on that.
Damaged, treated hair. Stop the breakage. Look your best with Ovation Cell Therapy.
I damaged my hair from overstyling with a flat iron. I want my hair to grow out faster and be more manageable. With Ovation, my hair is healthier and the texture is like it was when I was a kid. Everyone comments on how great my hair looks.
Log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special discount. That's OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout. For real results. Guaranteed. Ovation works. Ovation Cell Therapy works on all hair types. Stop the breakage. Grow your hair thicker, stronger, longer, and faster. Guaranteed.
I'm African-American, and I must say, after using Ovation, the normal shedding after washing has been greatly reduced. My hair is silkier and has more movement and body.
Log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special discount. That's OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for real results. Guaranteed. Ovation works.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. Got a public pension? That security blanket may be tattered. A new report says public pensions all over the country are in big trouble. We're live with CBS's Barry Bagnato.
A $1 trillion shortfall, that's what taxpayer-backed public pension systems are facing, according to an eye-opening study.
The economic crisis has certainly contributed to that trillion-dollar gap.
Susan Uran of the Pew Center on the States.
But the primary cause is the lack of discipline that states have shown in saving for the future and managing the cost of those retirement benefits.
To cover the deficit, taxes might have to be raised or services cut. Investment reforms would help, she says. 19 states are found to be facing serious concerns. Live in Washington, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
With President Obama's health care reform on life support, an administration report warns of big health insurance premium increases. Princeton economist Uwe Reinhardt says there are some reasons that back up the concern.
Younger and healthier people who wouldn't have cost the insurance company a lot of money are now dropping out, and all you have left is mainly sicker people.
Major increases have been approved or asked for in California, Michigan, Maine, and a handful of other states. The government says first-time jobless claims shot up unexpectedly last week after a drop the week before.
It's two steps forward, one step back, and I think that's what we're seeing is the one step back today.
Economist Nariman Baravesh, the government also says energy costs helped push up wholesale prices last month. Core inflation, which includes energy and food, was up more than experts anticipated. Since its creation after 9/11, the Homeland Security Department has made important strides and dealt with lapses and missteps. Now an Inspector General's report finds Homeland Security officers lost 200 guns between 2006 and 2008, some falling into the hands of dangerous people. Former Homeland Security spokesman Mark Raimondi.
They're on the line every day helping protect the homeland, but like all of us, they're not always perfect.
Overseas, for the second time in about a week, a major militant arrest in Karachi, Pakistan. Last week, the Taliban's number two man was seized there. Now, the Pakistanis say they arrested nine al-Qaeda militants, including some significant figures. CBS News consultant Jerry Van Dyke.
It shows increasingly that the United States and Pakistan are working closely together, not just along the tribal areas, but in the major cities of Pakistan.
What can Team USA do for an encore? after yesterday's record-setting day at the Winter Olympic Games in Vancouver.
This was, quite frankly, the greatest day the U.S. has ever had at the Winter Olympics. The U.S. won a total of 6 medals, 3 gold, 1 silver, and 2 bronze. Probably the highlight was the gold medal won by Lindsey Vonn. She became the first American woman to win the downhill.
That's CBS's Steve Futterman in Vancouver. Late word, the index of leading economic indicators rose 0.3% in January. And the Dow is up 39 points on Wall Street. This is CBS News.
Now at the Home Depot, save an instant $50 to $250 on in-stock bath products. Brands like Kohler and Moen. Just spend $500 or more to update your bathroom. And remodel your thinking, too. Because by putting your savings back into your project, you can afford an even nicer bathroom. If you hurry in today for an instant savings of up to $250. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Apples and oranges, night and day, plain old text email and email marketing with Constant Contact. The differences are pretty amazing. Plain old email is just, well, plain. Constant Contact is real email marketing. In minutes, you get professional-looking newsletters with photos, your logo, everything. You've seen these great-looking emails from other small businesses. Now, it's your turn. Plans as low as $15 a month and free phone support from real live people. ConstantContact.com. There's nothing plain about it.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. President Obama comes to Denver today. He has 2 fundraisers scheduled for Senator Michael Bennett. Before that, the president has a sticky diplomatic issue. He's meeting at the White House with the Dalai Lama. That's a meeting that China is not happy about.
The president will express concern about the situation in Tibet. He'll urge the Dalai Lama to continue having a dialogue with Beijing. And I don't think we're going to hear him stake out any particularly new or tough points.
Sophie Richardson with Human Rights Watch. Colorado's Lindsey Vonn is a golden girl. She wins the Olympic downhill and captures her first Olympic medal. Vaughn's been battling a shin injury.
It was hurting a lot, and I've gotten really lucky, you know, with all the training cancellations. I needed those extra days to be ready for today, and it was really hard, you know, a lot of therapy and a lot of pain, but, you know, that's what ski racing is about.
For local sports, the Denver Nuggets are in action tonight. They play the Cavaliers in Cleveland. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where police have moved an accident southbound 225 that occurred south of Parker. We've seen some single digits coming around that curve. They're now into the teens. Hopefully those will start to get back to normal shortly. Eastbound C-470, also a crowded ride. Broadway towards Quebec. Same deal for southbounders on 225 just as you're getting off that I-70 ramp, taking you past Colfax, rather, to Alameda. Surface Street crash being cleaned up. 120th in Sheridan. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a cloudy day with a high of only around 40 degrees. We do have a chance of seeing some midday snow flurries. Currently 28 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Right now at Freeway Ford, get a brand new Focus or Ranger for just $12,900. 2 great vehicles, 1 incredible price. After rebates, drive home an 010 Focus or Ranger for just $12,900. Only at Todd Helton's Ford team. Freeway Ford, I-25 in Evans, Longmont Ford, 3rd and Alpine, or cheaperfords.com.
Good day, citizens. Stand by for vital financial information from Lending Tree.
Urgent. Get a $200,000 fixed loan for just $1,074 a month at LendingTree.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, parents, you don't need the latest gizmo slang or clothes to be a perfect parent, because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
You're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Wow. 806 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We've been talking about President Obama's visit to Colorado today for Michael Bennett. We're going to shift topics just a little bit here. Joining us now is friend of the show, director of Colorado Safer, Mason Tavert. You can find his website, saferchoice.org. Marijuana, of course, been in the news a lot in the last week with this DEA bust. It's the subject of my upcoming column tomorrow in the Post. And Safer put out a press release yesterday about an appointee of Mayor John Hickenlooper's. They uncovered a letter from an appointee to a pretty important drug policy review board here in the city that just exemplifies the problem with the debate over this issue. Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer, tell us what's going on. What did you find? Why is it important?
We basically came across a letter that was written back in 2006 when the state was about to vote on a marijuana-related ballot initiative in which this particular individual, Lieutenant Martinez, who's with the Denver Police Department and the Colorado Drug Investigators Association, refers to people who think we should be reexamining marijuana laws and making marijuana legal as, quote, a cancer eating away at society's resolve and moral fiber, and he refers to it as a, these people as a scourge on society and so on. And essentially, you know, this is not in line with the voters of Denver, and in fact, the voters of Colorado. We now know 50% of marijuana should be legal, and we don't know why Mayor Hickenlooper would appoint such a person to a panel that is charged with implementing a law that makes marijuana possession the lowest priority in the city.
So the mayor appoints a guy who is a drug policy extremist to a board that is whose mission that is set up to implement a voter-approved referendum telling the police to reform our drug laws.
Yeah, this is on par with putting Bernie Madoff on the SEC, you know. I mean, there's really no excuse for putting putting someone in a position where they're supposed to be working to improve and foster new marijuana policies when their explicit goal is to prevent that from taking place.
We had Susan Green on the show, the Denver Post columnist, and a couple weeks ago, and she said that one problem, and I'm paraphrasing here, but she said that one thing that people should be on the lookout with John Hickenlooper as governor, if he becomes governor, is that he has shown, she asserted, an unwillingness to take on the law enforcement complex, that he has been compliant, that he basically doesn't take them on. And not that they always need to be taken on, but that he is basically, he cowers in front of law enforcement. And that this is a particular problem because one of our states at the state level, the budget crisis revolves around, is the prison industrial complex. Do you think that she's right? Do you think that John Hickenlooper has shown an unwillingness to challenge law enforcement, conventional wisdom in law enforcement, for instance, a conventional wisdom that says that all drugs are bad or a cancer on site?
I think it's possible that she could be right. You know, it's hard to tell, seeing as he's only been in city government so far, and really police hold a lot more sway typically when it comes to city elections, city elected officials, and so on. So it'll be interesting to see what would happen. So I can't say for sure, but it's certainly a concern. You know, if he, you know, by appointing someone like Lieutenant Martinez to this panel, either that means that he's not paying attention to who he's appointing to these things, or he is certainly bowing to the wrong interest. So it is tough to tell right now.
I mean, it's possible that he didn't know about this guy's particular extremism, isn't it?
Absolutely. It certainly is. But the problem here is that, you know, 57% of voters called for this. This was on the heels of a majority of voters calling for this, you know, 2 years prior. Now 67% of the city thinks that we need to stop arresting marijuana users. And it's really just a matter of why is he not getting the clue? I mean, at any point in time, Mayor Hickenlooper could direct police to stop citing these people. And at any point in time, the Denver City Attorney's Office could stop prosecuting them. That's the case in Seattle, where they've recently decided to stop prosecuting people, and they're only handling about 50 marijuana possession cases a year, whereas here in Denver, which is actually a smaller city, we're handling upwards of 2,000.
And I was gonna that was gonna be my follow up question. I mean, how much of a problem does arrest for marijuana possession? How much of a problem is that? Does that remain here in Denver? I mean, is it in your mind when you look across the what other cities and states are doing? Are we particularly aggressive in continuing to arrest people for basic marijuana possession charges, or are we the norm? Are we below the norm? If you can characterize it.
Well, fortunately, Colorado does have relatively lenient policies in that it's only a $100 maximum fine and no time in jail for possession of up to an ounce of marijuana. The problem is that this is a permanent conviction on someone's record. It's a drug conviction. It results in college students losing financial aid, people losing public housing, people losing custody of their children. It results in people losing their jobs, the inability to get a new job. So there's a whole lot of problems associated with this, and of course the stigma associated with having a drug conviction on your record. And at the very logistical level, we are seeing every single one of these people going to court. It's still required that these people show up in Denver courts. When you go in there any morning out of the year, you're going to see, five, six marijuana possession cases in there that, you know, the court staff has to deal with, the judge has to deal with, the prosecutors have to deal with, when the people of the city have said, let's not bother.
And especially, again, at a time of budget deficits, these decisions are just unbelievable. When we've got budget strapped, when we've got less and less resources to deal with the real problems of society, when you've got, even at the federal level, you've got the DEA expending huge amounts of resources now to throw people in jail for growing medical marijuana. Now at the state level and at the city level, we've got deficits, and we have this continued, if not a crackdown, then continued ignorance and rejection of what voters want. Mason Tvert of Colorado Safer, you can see this letter that they uncovered from Denver Police Lieutenant Ernie Martinez, who Mayor Hickenlooper appointed to the Denver Marijuana Policy Review Panel. You can see this letter at saferchoice.org. Again, saferchoice.org. The mayor appointing a guy who has called drugs, marijuana, a cancer eating away at society's resolve and moral fiber. The mayor appointing this guy to a policy review panel that's supposed to help implement drug policy reform. You can see the letter again, saferchoice.org. Mason, always good to talk to you. Talk to you soon, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right. 8:15 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. So do you think Mayor Hickenlooper knew about this? Do you think Mayor Hickenlooper... this is a stealth move to put a drug warrior on a drug policy review panel, or do you think the mayor didn't know? Do you think the mayor is serious about implementing laws that the voters have passed, mandating drug policy reform? I mean, this is a big issue. This is a big budgetary issue here, right? The prison industrial complex at the state level, in terms of the state budget, continues to eat away so much of the budget. So if this mayor becomes governor, Susan Green has said, the Denver Post columnist, she said, you know, a big problem is that he's not been willing to take on the prison industrial complex. What do you think about that? 303-713-7600. Then, of course, President Obama in town today to campaign for incumbent Senator Michael Bennett. Do you think the president is right or wrong to try to intervene in Colorado's Democratic Senate primary? Some people saying, hey, well within his rights to do whatever he wants. Other people saying, hey, why don't you leave the Senate primary up to the voters of Colorado? Stop trying to intervene. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Up next, fill you in on this bill and the legislature dealing with gift cards. Are gift cards trying to rip you off? And then check this out. I know you've heard the oil and gas industry in this state screaming and whining that, oh, the regulations are too tough. The recently passed oil and gas regulations have been too tough, and we're not going to do any exploration anymore of oil and gas. Well, meanwhile, they may have found a huge oil find up in Weld County, which would raise the question, well, if you're not doing any more exploration, but now you're excited that you found a big find in Weld County, were you lying to us about how supposedly bad these Governor Ritter's oil and gas rules were. We'll fill you in on that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, traffic is pretty heavy for us in Aurora, southbound side of 225 anyway, after an earlier crash around Parker Road. Some speeds really hampering there from Iliff all the way down to the Tech Center, northbound side of 225, not so bad. Stop and go also on 25 northbound side from Washington Street up past 6th Avenue. Normal jams coming southbound in North Glen and Thornton, also downtown after I-70. Got a new crash at 120th and Sheridan. The forecast today, mostly cloudy and cold. Afternoon snow and highs in the mid-30s. Tonight, snow showers will pick up, bringing 2 to 4 inches of accumulation to the Front Range by midday Friday when this storm winds down. Right now, downtown checking in at 30 degrees. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text speakup to 411-247.
Through 32710.
Just tell me, is it now?
It's now, Mike.
I don't exist. I'm invisible. Not even a blip on the radar. I'm a stealth roofer. My son, my teenage son, tried to find my roofing business on the internet, and even he couldn't do it. There's just a big hole in the World Wide Web where my company should be. Then it hit me. I should call Dex One. So I dialed 1-877-4-DEX-NOW, and now I'm talking to one of their marketing consultants. Her name is...
This is Sophie.
My son says I need to power up my click-through on my search engine rate. I don't know, something like that. I just need people to find me on the internet.
Sure. At Dex One, we can do a lot more than that. We can design a marketing plan that's as unique as your business with a personalized online presence.
Online, I like that.
Specially designed to drive ready-to-buy customers to your site.
That's what I'm talking about. Now maybe my son will appreciate me for the true internet visionary roofer I truly am.
Well, I...
Yeah, I probably shouldn't push it.
Dex One. Marketing solutions, business results. Take your business up a notch. Call 1-877-4DEX now.
Financing for qualified buyers on every full-size pickup, and they come with a 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty, whichever comes first. Length of contract limited, not available with other offers. See dealer for details. Take delivery by March 1st, 2010.
AutoZone.
Get your car in shape for spring with help from AutoZone.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Your engine's taken a beating over the last few months. With warmer weather coming, now's a great time to make sure it keeps going strong. Now at AutoZone, buy a 5-plus quart oil change jug or 5 single quarts of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $15.99. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
This is the Nesquik Bunny with another tip on how to get to your happy place. Today's advice, turn snack time into savings time. See, for your average snack, you gotta buy something to eat and you gotta buy something to drink. But with just one delicious Nesquik, it's so satisfying, it's like you get both. It's multitasking for your tummy. This has been the Nesquik Bunny, reminding you that you don't have to be rich to be happy, just rich and chocolatey. Nestle Nesquik, come to your happy place.
If you open your ears...
And I'm just one of those regular guys.
Your mind will follow.
I'm a liberal.
I consider myself an independent.
And it just blows my mind.
It doesn't matter what side you're from. What matters is what you say, the truth.
Listen.
Be more informed.
Become more informed.
Learn.
I learn a lot. I feel like I get all the real news from you guys.
Talk.
The honest, regular folk.
AM 760.
Taking action.
Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Absolutely, George Tobweed. Are you kidding me, man? He even feels that stuff, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Not burning, man.
He grew it all over the country, man. He had people growing it all over the country, you know? The whole country back then was getting high. Let me tell you, man, because he knew. He was on to something, man. He knew that it would be a good cash crop for the southern states, man. So he grew fields of it, man. But you know what? Behind every good man, there's a woman. And that woman was Martha Washington, man. And every day George would come home, she'd have a big fat bowl waiting for him, man, when he'd come in the door, man. She was a hip lady, man.
She was a hip lady. She was. Martha Washington was a hip lady. We're talking about, got a couple of topics out there right now. By a Mayor Hickenlooper appointee to a drug policy review panel, charged with, if not decriminalizing marijuana, then charged with implementing a voter-approved referendum to get the police to stop so aggressively prosecuting marijuana possession violations. This letter coming out, surfacing from Colorado Safer. One of Mayor Hickenlooper's appointees to this board, remember, the board charged with reforming our drug laws, Mayor Hickenlooper's appointee had said that marijuana is a cancer eating away at society's resolve and moral fiber. Why would Mayor Hickenlooper appoint somebody like that to a drug policy review board whose mission is to liberalize Denver's drug laws? 303-713-7600. Also, President Obama in town today to campaign for Michael Bennett. Do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing for Michael Bennett? Do you think the White House, do you think the president is out of line for trying to manipulate or choose winners and losers in a Colorado Democratic primary? Well, before we get to the phones, and we're getting your instant message, you can always instant message us at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Up there today, you will see Jane Norton, the Republican Senate candidate. She has aired an ad on the eve of President Obama's visit here. So you can see that ad. Just want to fill you in on a couple more local stories here. You've heard a lot about the oil and gas industry saying that the oil and gas rules passed by Governor Bill Ritter have tamped down exploration and are hurting the oil and gas industry. But wait a minute. This is from the Denver Business Journal. Possible big northern Colorado oil find raising excitement. The possibility of a big discovery in northern Colorado's sprawling Denver-Julesburg Basin, according to industry sources, has many in the state's energy industry talking about the area's huge potential. The basin sprawls across northeastern Colorado and has produced oil and natural gas since the 1950s, but oil production has petered out over the decades. That may change if the first official production numbers of a well called Jake 201H hold up over time. The well, run by Houston-based EOG Resources, produced about 14,000 barrels of oil in 8 days during October 2009, according to state records. So there is a thought that this is going to be a big oil find. And I just go back to the idea that, you know, this should make you think that the oil and gas industry, when you hear them talking about, oh, we're not exploring anymore and Colorado's oil and gas rules and those enviros are crushing our business. Well, sure doesn't seem like that. Sure seems like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. We're going to go to the phones, 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600. Let's go to Steve in Denver. Steve, you're on AM 760.
Hello.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, I was just calling one concerning the gift card thing you had mentioned. Total ripoff. Don't ever buy them. We went through a nightmare with them. Never again. As far as
why do you say that, by the way? I should mention the bill in the legislature would force companies to refund you some money. If it's less than $5. If you have less than $5 left on your gift card, it would force the companies to refund you in cash. And there's been federal legislation about these gift cards that would mandate the companies not put an expiration date on them. And there's this whole idea that I think it's like 20 or 30% of gift cards are not used, and so the money that is spent on them basically disappears.
We've gotten a gift card for an anniversary present, and every time we tried to use it at a restaurant or a store or something, they said it didn't run through.
Oh, that's the worst. That is the worst.
We had to call the company up, and they said, oh, you got money on there. And then after a year, they start taking $2 off every month. And by the time we finally got to, after I called this company, I think it was with Chase, after we called them about 15 times, We finally got the card to work, and we had $5 left on it.
Yeah, that's a real bummer, man. I'll throw this out there as a follow-up question for the audience. Just as a social thing, I wonder why people buy gift cards and don't just give cash. I mean, I guess I know it's like not cool to give cash, but you know, it's like there's something sort of, it's too transactional to give cash as a gift. But it's also like gift cards, you're sort of playing with fire a little bit that if they don't get used or they don't get used in the right way, you can get ripped off.
I think they're just convenience.
Yeah, maybe that's true. All right, you want to weigh in on the marijuana issue?
Yeah, with all the medical marijuana stuff going on, and I was wondering if there was an initiative on the ballot for legalization. Turk had informed me that there was one being petitioned around, so I think it would be a good time to put one on with the voter rolls flush with new voters from the presidential election.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk that there's going to be a ballot initiative on legalization. I'm hearing that it's going to be in 2012, not in 2010. And I think you're right. I think the state is ready for it. I think we need to have the debate not just about medical marijuana, but about marijuana in general. And I think that, the fact that so much of the debate is focused on medical marijuana actually takes us away from a debate over the underlying issue. If we're going to have cigarettes and beer legalized, why do we not have marijuana legalized? That's the question, I think, that is the toughest question that actually a lot of people get most uncomfortable with, and a debate over legalization would create. Hey, Steve, thanks for the call. Let's go to Frank in Denver. Frank, you're on AM 760.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
I wanted to say something about your use of the word appointed senator, referring to Senator Bennett. That seems to me like an editorial comment.
Yes, well, was he appointed?
Sure, but you know what I'm talking about. He's also the incumbent senator. You could choose that.
Well, I don't know, but I don't subscribe to that. I actually don't think he is the incumbent senator. Incumbent usually means somebody who's been elected. My point with that is that the Democratic machine would have you believe that Michael Bennett has been elected by the voters. And that this is not an open seat Senate race. Now, it's not technically an open seat Senate race, but the point is that I only use the term appointed senator, and I don't use the term incumbent senator because I don't think it's right for us to look at this as a typical situation where it is somebody who has already been voted in who is now running for re-election. This is. And that framing has been used by the Washington establishment to effectively imply that Andrew Romanoff, or any other challenger, by the way, has no real right to run in a primary. And so I think it's important for us to remember, and I want to be clear, I'm not taking sides in this primary. I like both
come
of
them. Come on, come on.
Hey, I'm totally serious, Frank. I like both these guys. I like Michael Bennett very much. I think he's a good person. I think he's well qualified for the seat. I think he's been a lot better senator than I would have expected. I mean that in all sincerity. I had lunch with the guy a couple, I guess it was last week, and we discussed education policy. I find him to be a very, very impressive person and very, very well qualified. I also find Andrew Romanoff to be very, very well qualified. And frankly, if you must know, I've got my concerns about both of them. I really do. I've got my concerns about Andrew Romanoff, and I've got my concerns about Michael Bennett. I got my concerns about Michael Bennett taking too much money from Wall Street, and I have my concerns about Andrew Romanoff up until very recently not really drawing much of a policy distinction with Michael Bennett. And it makes me wonder what actually motivates Andrew Romanoff.
Let's talk about that policy distinction. You know, Romanoff took PAC money when he was in the House. And now that he can't raise any, he's running against it. That you sort of alluded to that a little earlier.
Well, I agree with that.
That's the fact, Jack.
And I agree. It's a good question. It's a good question. I've asked him this. I by the way, a couple times ago when we had him on this show, I asked him specifically that. I said, "You've raised PAC money in the past. Why should anybody believe that you're all of a sudden Mr. Anti-PAC money?" And he said, "Well, you know, I've learned that this is the formative, fundamental, foundational problem in Washington is that money dominates politics." But Frank, I think you're absolutely right to raise the question. You know, these questions of hypocrisy, of situational ethics, if you will, these are real questions.
Yeah. And one last thing I'd just like to bring up, you know, Obama is the head of the party, and the party has a compelling interest in avoiding a primary. They're bloody and they're costly. And I think that the party needs to support incumbents as much as they can, and Romanoff, by going rogue, has made himself the outsider, and he and his supporters now cry about being the outsider when by the very nature of
mounting
a primary.
You are letting us know that you are a big D Democrat before you are a small D Democrat. You're somebody who doesn't like elections, who think that democracy weakens parties, and the thing that you're worried most about is the big D Democratic Party. And the thing is that I think most voters in this state are more worried about real issues, and most voters in this state, not hardcore partisans of either side, are not partisan hacks. They're not blinded by their partisanship. They think elections actually help us choose the right candidate. I have told this story over and over and over again. If Frank was running the Democratic Party at the time when John Tester ran for Senate in Montana, then John Tester wouldn't have been the nominee by the Democratic Party there. John Morrison would have been the nominee, and John Morrison would have gotten crushed by Conrad Burns, the Republican incumbent, because a scandal would not have come out in the primary. By the way, if Frank was running the Democratic Party, Frank would have tried to crush the insurgent primary challenge of one Barack Obama running against establishment candidate Hillary Clinton. So I just remind you of that, Frank, before you start saying what voters should be able to choose and what they shouldn't be able to choose and who is right or wrong to run in an election in an allegedly Democratic country, small D Democratic country, and in an allegedly small D Democratic, big D Democratic Party. Thanks for the call, Frank. 834 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, we'll fill you in on some national news, including a story about a whites-only basketball league? What is that about? And then also, TSA at the airport, TSA swabs. They're going to start swabbing you. What do you think about that? We'll take your calls more about President Obama's visit to Colorado. And the question is going to be, are they going to racially profile who they're swabbing? That's really the question. And
I got some for him to swab.
I'd like to see you tell them that at the airport, dude.
Next time I go to the airport, I'm going to do that.
You'll find yourself in like a closet.
I don't know, I'm going to have anything on me.
No, I know. Yeah, but go ahead. Don't get insubordinate with those guys.
I won't. All right.
Not that you would.
No, I wouldn't. No. But I mean, seriously, I don't even know if I'm going to fly anymore. I'm just going to drive where I need to go.
Well, I'm not flying for the indefinite future, not for any other reason than I'm just working on my book. But I tell you something, I do not miss the airport.
No, not at all. Right? You normally travel a lot, and you've had some time off from
that. I do not miss the airport. So we'll take your calls about Michael Bennett, Andrew Romanoff, President Obama in state today. Also, if you want to weigh in, Mayor Hickenlooper appointing to a drug policy review board, a guy who says marijuana is a cancer eating away at society's resolve and moral fiber. Does this suggest that Mayor Hickenlooper has a stealth agenda to thwart the will of voters who want drug policy reform? 303-713-7600 or instant message us, am760.net. We'll fill you in on those national stories after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, I'm going to get right to traffic, but I'm just going to say one thing. Ernie Martinez, early leader for my vote for Schmuck of the Week.
So the guy who said pot is a cancer eating away at society's resolve and moral fiber, not surprised to hear that it is John Turk. And by the way, I'm going to add my name to that, too. He is my early nominee for Schmuck of the Week. We do Schmuck of the Week.
We'll do that tomorrow. Friday. Yeah, wait. All right, Dave, into traffic now. It is starting to clear up for us a little bit. Still a little heavy in Aurora, southbound 225, Park Road at 25 due to an earlier crash. Also on 25, both approaches into downtown a little behind. Southbounders from 70 past Spear, northbound trip from Washington to 6th Avenue. Also seeing some heavier jams on 6th Avenue, the eastbound side, Sheridan to 25. Also looking at some slower traffic on the turnpike, westbound Founders from Sheridan to Church Ranch. Your forecast, mostly cloudy skies with afternoon snow, which will be heavier up in the mountains. Look for 2 to 4 inches in Denver when this wraps up tomorrow at noon. Highs today, 37 degrees. Right now, 32 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Want to save on your groceries every time you shop? Just look for the yellow tags at King Soopers. They're the sign you're getting a great price, and you'll find thousands of them throughout the store every day. Get more value for the way you live at King Soopers.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo, I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you and everyone else.
Everyone!
While you're online, check out Progressive.com today for a free quote. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Hi, it's David Sirota. You've got to visit the Yak and Yeti restaurant and brew pub. It's absolutely the best place in town to get incredible Indian, Nepalese, and Tibetan cuisine. Family owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30 7 days a week, and they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill, theyakandyeti.com.
TheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Oh, and by the way, it tastes great. So call us right now, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea is a proud member of the Better Business Bureau.
Results may vary. Additional products and services will be offered for sale.
This is not your father's economy. The old standards of working one job and putting money away towards retirement no longer apply. Today, success or failure depends on your financial IQ. You need to attend a free Rich Dad Education Workshop in Denver and Boulder. Based on the teachings from the best-selling book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, this 90-minute event will show you how to survive and build security during these hard economic times. We teach why your house is not an asset. You may not want to diversify. You may not want to invest in 401ks or mutual funds. Saving money will never make you rich. These are just some of Rich Dad's teachings that will change the way you think about money. Attend this free Rich Dad Education training Monday, February 22nd through Wednesday the 24th. Reserve your place now at richdadeducation.com or call 800-489-4213. Register now and receive a free gift just for attending. 800-489-4213. That's 800-489-4213.
A whites-only basketball league. This is a real story and a crazy one. A whites-only basketball league aims to launch in 12 cities this summer, according to a report in the Augusta Chronicle down in Georgia. The All-American Basketball Alliance would also ban players born outside the United States. The league's commissioner, Don Moose Lewis, claims that he, quote, doesn't hate anyone of color, but people of white American-born citizens are in the minority now. Thus, he says, the All-American Basketball Alliance would be a league for white players to play fundamental basketball, which they like. The report includes additional shocking quotes from the commissioner. Moose Lewis said he wants to emphasize fundamental basketball instead of, quote, street ball, played by, quote, people of color. He says, quote, would you want to go to the game and worry about a player flipping you off or attacking you in the stands or grabbing their crotch? That's the culture today, and in a free country, we should have the right to move ourselves in a better direction. I see. Apparently, only players of color behave inappropriately in sports, apparently. So a whites-only basketball league. Do people have too much free time on their hands?
You know, Dave, I think we have some instant messengers this morning that would be interested in joining that basketball league. It's kind of ridiculous, you know what I mean? We've been getting some racist emails this morning.
Yeah, we get racist emails all the time.
All the time, all the time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, man, you know, I don't understand why that even exists.
I mean, it's just to be provocative, frankly. I think it's not a real...
Get attention?
It's to get attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just to get attention exactly. And stir up racial hatreds and the like. So, but yeah, I also end up wondering, you know, do people just have way too much free time on their hands, like a whites-only basketball league? I mean, that's just ridiculous. CNN, this is also, I mean, I wouldn't call this ridiculous, but CNN is reporting that to the list of instructions you hear at airport checkpoints. Add this. Put your palms forward, please. The Transportation Security Administration soon will begin randomly swabbing passengers' hands at checkpoints and airport gates to test them for traces of explosives. Previously, screeners swabbed some carry-on luggage and other objects as they search for the needle in the security haystack. But after the Christmas Day attempted bombing, the TSA began a program of swabbing passengers' hands, which could be contaminated by explosive materials. Now, I'm not going to be a conspiracy theorist completely, but when you keep adding in all these things about, oh, they're going to start swabbing, then when you get pulled over, you're going to get an iris. If your relative gets swabbed and put into a DNA database, you also go in the DNA database. I tell you something, it is Big Brother. This is all a Big Brother scenario. And we just got to be on the lookout for the trampling of our basic civil liberties. I'm not necessarily against this TSA move. I'm just saying, you put it all together, you really see the national security state starting to grow and grow and grow. Maybe not even starting to grow, just accelerating its growth. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Kyle in, calling in from upstate New York. Hey, Kyle.
Yeah, hey, David. I want to talk about Michael Bennett and President Obama meeting today. And Michael Bennett, he's the one leading the charge for the renewed public option in the Senate. I think it's all really a sham. You know, these senators just don't want primary challenges. And Michael Bennett just wants to win the primary. That's why he's calling for the public option. You know, if he talks to Obama to his face in front of a crowd and says, Obama, you should support the public option, then that's something. But he won't do that. This is all just for show, and these senators should just be ashamed of themselves. And as far as Obama getting involved in Colorado primary, I really don't think it does any good for him to get involved because all the candidates that he picked end up losing, you know, for the governor's races in Virginia and New Jersey and Massachusetts. He picked Martha Coakley. She lost, so he's not really a good strategist, so he should.
Well, that's certainly true. His king-making abilities are certainly in question. Look, I do think this. I mean, I see your point, and I also don't see your point. I see your point about how a lot of this stuff is kabuki, right? That there's a game going on, a game of show, and that you're right. You'd want to see a Michael Bennett say to President Obama, "Hey, you're part of the really aggressively supported a public option just on the issue of health care." But I will say this. The fact that there is a contested primary, we had Frank from Denver call a couple minutes ago who said, oh, primaries are terrible. And I look at the Bennett move on the public option, right? Bennett releasing this letter to Harry Reid saying that I want you, I support you, I demand that you use reconciliation, a 51-vote procedure to ram through the public option through a paralyzed Senate. I see that move as a product of the primary. And I think that without a primary, Michael Bennett might not have done that. And that what you really learn is the truth of the principle that the more members of Congress fear and feel close to and fear retribution from voters at the polls, the more they will actually respond to voters. And that primaries, contested elections, make them feel closer to voters. So I think that's the dynamic we need, not just in a U.S. Senate race, in every race, in your state legislative races, in congressional races. I think primaries are a good thing. This country suffers from a lack of democracy, not too much democracy. Hey, Kyle, thanks for the call. We'll go to Jane in Westminster. Jane, you're on AM 760.
Good morning.
Morning.
Regarding President Obama coming in town, as far as I'm concerned, he has the right to come. But then my question is, what's in it for him? And I kind of am starting down a long road, and maybe it's a conspiracy theory, but when Governor Ritter appointed him to that job, I wondered why, since there was so much outcry, you know, from people about wanting other people. So we go on from there. Then I see Arne Duncan in the education, you know, heading that up. And so I keep wondering about this appointment. Then when he gets to the Senate, he's put in a plum assignment in Senator Kennedy's seat. I have to wonder if all of this is based on gathering people, whether it's Arne Duncan or Senator Bennett, to maybe push in my opinion, maybe the charter schools or changing education. I'm wondering if this is a platform for education change and that if he's just pushing that agenda forward.
You know, I don't know. I can't answer that question. I mean, I think it's a fair question to ask what was behind President Obama lobbying Governor Ritter to appoint Michael Bennett. I think these are fair questions. I think we should not simply take at face value that Obama is endorsing and Bennett and intervening in the primary just because he likes Michael Bennett. I do think there are always other reasons going on, and I don't know what those reasons are, and I certainly don't understand. I it's like this. I would get it if Andrew Romanoff, the primary challenger to Michael Bennett, had some fatal flaw, right? Like there was something in his closet that everybody knew about that hadn't come out. I would get it if Andrew Romanoff was polling terribly against the likely Republican nominee. You know, okay, the White House is intervening because they want the strongest candidate. But none of that's happening, right? I mean, Romanoff is actually polling better against the Republicans than Bennett. So it's fair to ask the question, what is going on in these decisions? And I don't have an answer for you other than to say that typically at sort of a top level, political power brokers don't like democracy. They like to use power. They like to feel powerful. They like to feel like kingmakers. And so I kind of expected the White House and the Democratic Party apparatus to say, hey, we're going to go in, we're going to try to pick winners and losers and screw the voters. And my point has always been, no matter which candidate you like, Bennett, Romanoff, and even forget just the Senate race, in other races, I think that you have to ask yourself, are you for the party first or are you for democracy first? And call me old-fashioned, call me crazy, but I trust democracy to work best to pick the best candidates. I don't trust party power brokers. I don't trust party elders. I don't trust the establishment. I trust we the people. Maybe that makes me crazy. Maybe that makes me old-fashioned, but that's where I come down. Hey, Jane, thanks for the call. 849 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, are contractors, is the contractor designation being used to dodge taxes? The IRS says so. And then environmentalists ticked off at President Obama in a big New York Times story. We'll fill you in on that as well after a traffic update with John Turk.
All right, Dave, traffic is starting to clear up for us around the metro. Southbound 225 still a little behind from Parker Road to 25 due to an earlier crash right after Parker Road. Also seeing the jams going into downtown, both sides of I-25. In the high country, I-70 snow packed in spots between Georgetown and Eagle. Also chain laws in effect over Loveland Pass. If you're up on the north end of Denver, we do have some police activity after an early shooting at 12th and Knox. That's basically right in between Federal and Lowell by Garfield Lake. Your forecast today, mostly cloudy and cold, afternoon snow, highs in the mid-30s. Tonight, snow showers will pick up, bringing 2 to 4 inches into the Front Range by midday Friday when the storm winds down. Right now, downtown checking in at 32 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Ralph Schott Mini, where every new 37-mile-per-gallon Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Learn more at RalphSchottMini.com.
Peter Baruch, Senior Compliance Director for the Business Software Alliance.
Your boss wouldn't walk into a store and steal software off the shelf, but your boss may order you or another employee to copy software illegally. Either way, it's stealing. Report software piracy. It's the right thing to do.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BS.
Ovation Cell Therapy is so good, it's guaranteed.
I'm very pleased with Ovation. Your money-back guarantee got me to try it. My hair is much shinier, softer, and fuller looking. My stylist can really see the difference. My hair is so healthy. I can continue with perms and color. Ovation, for my money, you're the real deal.
For thicker, stronger, longer hair, log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special discount. That's OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout.
For real results guaranteed, Ovation works.
What people in America don't get
is that it's not a this or not this. It's a this or that. It's not a you have big government or you have small government.
Learn a little something. Afternoons at 1.
Let's go back to what the founders had. The Boston Tea Party was a revolt against a tax cut by the British government to put entrepreneurial tea sellers in the colonies out of business.
Tom Hartman on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Environmental advocates are cooling on Obama. That's the headline of the New York Times here on February 17th. Sorry, February 18th. Oh, we only got 12 more days. No, 10 more days of February, and then we're to March. All right.
We should update what's happening tomorrow real quick, Dave.
Yeah, we should, before I get to this story.
I mean, we got some guests. You know, we got some guests going on tomorrow morning.
We got a bunch of guests. We got a beer brewer in who
put
organic
Beer from Boulder, Asher Brewery.
We're going to be doing Schmuck of the Week as well. And then at 9, we're going to take the Tiger Woods press conference
live. I'm sure a lot of our audience is going to be so upset about us doing that.
I know.
This was a management decision.
A directive from
Station. And I think it's the right decision. And I don't think you agree with me.
Man, we've
got to hear what Tiger Woods has to say.
I
don't think it's gonna be that long.
I'm torn. I'm fine with it.
The good thing, you know, we have beer, so we'll be able to drink a couple beers and listen to what Tiger Woods has to say.
I guess it's important. Yeah, and so we're gonna play that at 9 tomorrow. And it should be snowing tomorrow. We got snow in the forecast the rest of the week, all through Sunday. I just want to fill you in on this. Environmental advocates are cooling on Obama. There's been no more reliable cheerleader for President Obama's energy and climate policies than the environmental community. But this story is about how the environmental community is getting increasingly annoyed with the Obama administration on issues like so-called clean coal and nuclear power. And then also, check this out. U.S. cracks down on contractors as a tax dodge. Federal and state officials facing record budget deficits are starting to aggressively pursue companies that try to pass off regular employees as independent contractors. President Obama's 2010 budget assumes that the federal crackdown will yield at least $7 billion over 10 years. More than 24 states also have stepped up enforcement, often by enacting stricter penalties for misclassifying workers. Governor Ritter had done that in our state. I've written a whole chapter in my book, The Uprising, about how this has been done at the Microsoft Corporation and how they really made this. They were really one of the biggest employers that started this practice. And it really is a rip-off practice. I mean, it really is. When companies pay people as independent contractors so as to not have to pay their payroll taxes, so as to not have to pay them benefits, it is brutal, and it is happening more and more in this economy. And I'm glad to hear that the Obama administration and state regulators are cracking down. We'll go back to the phones now, 303-713-7600. Let's go to Mark in Denver. Mark, you're on AM 760.
Hi, David.
Hey there.
I want to say real quick, you're one of the, I really enjoy your show. You explain your positions very rationally, and it's very refreshing.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to make a comment about TSA. I'm an airline pilot. I deal with TSA not only in Denver, but all over the country. And one thing that drives me nuts about them is they can't even standardize their own procedures. You know, here they are, federal law enforcement agency, and really they give the impression that they really don't know what they're doing. There's an old joke. You know what TSA stands for?
Go for it.
Thousands standing around.
Thousands standing around. That's nice. Well, you know, let me ask you this question about TSA, because, and you're responding just to, for folks who are just tuning in, there's this story that TSA is going to start swabbing people's hands randomly to test for an explosive chemical on their hands. They sometimes do that with baggage now. Let me ask you this question. You say that TSA has not even standardized its own procedures. Let me play devil's advocate and ask you, well, maybe could there be a method to the madness, right? Could it be that they haven't standardized things because once you standardize something, you become predictable in your security enforcement?
I understand that argument, and I think there is validity in that argument, but I think in the case of TSA, it's more buffoonery than an actual methodology. And the reason I say that is because the the lack of professionalism that I find with a lot of the TSA people. I think what it is is you've given a lot of small minds a lot of authority, and they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, well, TSA has been an agency that has been plagued by real problems, and it's frightening to think about. And you just hope that that the agency can be straightened out. I mean, I think they've done some really good things, and I think I agree with you. I think that some of the criticisms of them have been completely valid. I will say this, Mark. I think it's not helpful that the Republican Party in the Senate has blocked the nominee to head the TSA on the grounds that that nominee may be supportive of allowing TSA employees to unionize. I mean, we got bigger issues to deal with at TSA than simply issues of letting people union. I mean, I support letting them unionize, but my point is the Republican Party doesn't seem all that interested in getting the kind of leadership in there that can take care of some of the problems that you're talking about.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And the one thing I wanted to say about the initiative, this latest initiative, it is just so typically reactionary, and unfortunately I feel it's a real symptom of America today in that you have somebody who was a criminal, did a criminal act, and now we are all the criminals, okay? And so what you have is law enforcement taking the easy way out. Okay, let's just scan everybody. Let's just, you know, not use our brain, not use our powers of deduction, not use any investigative method, and let's just randomize everybody.
Well, it's the whole issue of you're letting the terrorists win. If one underwear bomber gets through the system, and then the whole system changes in a way that infringes on our civil liberties, you've effectively let the underwear bomber win. And I think that's a really important point, and I think it needs to be pounded home over and over and over again. Thanks for the call, man. Fly safe. Gene in Centennial. Gene, you got 30 seconds. Fire away.
Oh, too short. But anyway, good morning, David. I just wanted to say that in response to Frank and Kyle and Jane, that I think with the president coming to see Michael Bennett, I think democracy is fluid. It's not static. The primaries are wonderful. I think the president shouldn't be coming, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think the president shouldn't be. I think he's got a right to be coming. I think he shouldn't be trying to Bigfoot the election. But I think the election will occur regardless. You know, my take is bring it on, Mr. President. All right, that's it for this hour. Up next, Jim Wallace, and we'll continue taking your calls. Stick around.
Mario Solis Marriage.
Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show, campaign and internet guru Joe Trippi will be with us. We'll take your calls. Y mucho más.
Today at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. President Obama's announced a new commission tasked with tackling the country's huge budget deficit.
Those who preach fiscal discipline have to be willing to take the hard steps necessary to achieve it.
The bipartisan panel will be co-chaired by Erskine Bowles, former President Clinton's chief of staff, and former Republican Senator Alan Simpson.
Their recommendations will require the approval of 14 of the commission's 18 members. And that ensures that any recommendation coming out of this effort and sent forward to Congress has to be bipartisan in nature.
The administration is forecasting a record deficit of more than $1.5 trillion for the fiscal year that ends on September 30th. Public workers in many states could be in for a rude shock when they retire. A study by the Pew Center has found that the states are confronting a $1 trillion shortfall in retirement benefits, including pension plans, health care, and other programs.
One state you can take a look at is Illinois. Right now, they have about half of the funds on hand that they really need to responsibly manage that liability, and that's just for pensions.
The Pew Center's Susan Uren says some states, including New York, Florida, and North Carolina, are doing a good job of handling their pension funds. The Obama administration says health insurance premium increases of nearly 40% are not an exception, but a worrisome sign. The report today gives several examples, including a rate hike request of 56% by Michigan's Blue Cross Blue Shield last year. Criticism over proposed pension increases by Anthem Blue Cross for Californians purchasing their own coverage forced the company to announce a postponement last week. There is word today of more arrests in Pakistan. Officials say 9 militants linked to Al-Qaeda have been arrested overnight in Karachi. CBS News foreign affairs analyst Jerry Van Dyke.
The most important thing is that Pakistan has always said that it wants to rid its country of Al-Qaeda. This is America's premier goal. The Taliban are secondary. I think this is an important development.
It gets a test run next fall in 8 states, a pilot program that allows some students to graduate from high school in 2 years if they pass a series of tests. Then they can enroll in community colleges. Howard Everson of the National Center on Education and Economy, who's working on the program, says it should help eliminate inefficient courses.
Students spend time in year-long courses, and they progress through secondary school, and they're promoted with very low academic achievement and performance.
New allegations that there was a cover-up of dangerous levels of a carcinogen in drinking water at a Marine base in North Carolina. With that story, CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula.
Recently disclosed studies revealed that the level of a cancer-causing chemical found in tap water at Camp Lejeune here in North Carolina was dramatically underreported. The information was completely covered up in a federal health review. As many as 1 million people may have been exposed to benzene in well water at Lejeune more than 20 years ago. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 25 points. This is CBS News.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents Mike Rowe, who is beginning to hear things
about service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships.
Right, I knew that.
Yeah, what I hear is this. These people work hard. They also work smart. They get a lot of training from Ford and have a lot of natural ability on their own. Look, when you need to get something done on your car, isn't that who you want working on it? It seems like a no-brainer to me.
I hear you, Mike.
I wasn't talking to you.
Right. Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service. For special offers, visit GenuineService.com.
No-brainer.
With its unique combination of high resale value and 3-year 36,000-mile no-cost maintenance, the 37-mile-per-gallon Mini Cooper is a smart buy. You could say it delivers fiscally prudent, environmentally sensitive, flat-out, full-on, gopher-broke, no-holds-barred, white-knuckle go-kart-handling, motoring excitement starting at $19,500. Or you could just say it's a smart buy. Right now, get 1.9% APR financing on all 2010 models. Learn more at miniusa.com/info.
MSRP includes destination and handling, excludes license, registration, taxes, and options.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Medical marijuana advocates plan to protest recent drug raids during President Barack Obama's visit to Denver today. The president will be in town campaigning for Senator Michael Bennett. His visit comes 2 days after a man who was allegedly growing over 200 marijuana plants in his Highlands Ranch home got busted by federal drug agents. President's trip is to campaign for Senator Bennett. Bennett is facing a primary challenge from former Colorado House Speaker Andrew Romanoff. Colorado lawmakers are looking at their own expenses as they try to balance the state's budget. Lawmakers from outside Metro Denver get paid $150 a day to cover housing and meals while they're in Denver for the four-month session. That amount is set to rise to $191 a day in July. But legislative leaders from both parties want to forego that raise until 2012. That would save taxpayers about $238,000. In sports, the Nuggets are in Cleveland tonight to play the Cavaliers. This is the team's first game since Coach George Karl announced he is battling neck and throat cancer. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
The Denver Drive, pretty good shape right now. You're going to find some leftover slowdown southbound 225 just after Yosemite as you're making your way up towards I-25. Speaking of 25, busy on the approach to 6th Avenue getting downtown. Other than those two heavy spots, you're not going to find any delays around the metro. Quick check on today's forecast. We do have a chance of seeing some midday snowfall, most likely after 11 to go along with the cloudy skies and our high of only 39 degrees. Currently, it's 30. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
906 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Snow in the forecast all through Sunday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in the 30s with snow. We'll see how much of that's going to stick. President Obama in town today to campaign for Michael Bennett. We've been discussing that. We've been discussing a new revelation that one of Mayor Hickenlooper's top drug policy appointees has called marijuana a cancer on society. We've been taking your calls about that and all of the issues of the day as well. And joining us now is Reverend Jim Wallace. He's the author of the book, the new book, Rediscovering Values on Wall Street, Main Street, and Your Street. He's in town signing books tonight at the Tattered Cover in Lodo starting at 7:30. Reverend Wallace, thanks for taking the time this morning. The title of your book about values on Wall Street, Main Street, and Your Street, I think a lot of us, when we look at politics, we tend to look for answers from our elected leaders. We tend to think that all of the problems, or many of the problems that we face, can and should be legislated. But it seems to me that, at least from the thrust of your book, that you're also arguing that this is a lot of the crises we face in our own country are crises of values, broader societal values. If that's the case, do you think we look too much to the political arena and specifically the electoral arena for our answers? I guess what I'm asking is the electoral arena, the problems of the electoral and political arena, are they a reflection, really, of society's broader values or lack thereof?
Well, I think the electoral arena is worse. Your comments before we began talking here, this political system is broken. It's dysfunctional. It's paralyzed. It's not getting anything done. There's an ethic now of campaigning all the time and not governing ever. Everything is about winning and losing. It's about the next election. And, you know, the nation needs health care. Tens of millions don't have it. And yet our political leaders can't make health care reform happen. Immigration reform is a critical issue for a lot of families in Colorado, poor, vulnerable families. And yet it won't even come up likely now because, imagine the demagoguery possible on this one. If you thought health care was bad, wait till immigration reform. The idea for a commission, debts are piling up. Our kids' futures are at stake, and a bipartisan commission was rejected because it was bipartisan. So I'm saying in the book that this crisis gives us an opportunity. Crisis always presents opportunities to reset our values on every level. And under the economic crisis, there is a values crisis underneath. We won't get to economic recovery without a moral recovery as well. So I think I live in Washington. I'm on these conference calls, and I'm on Obama's Council on Faith-Based and Nonprofit Partnerships. And I'm just telling you, it's broken. It's just members of Congress call me now in a regular way to say it's never been so bad. This body was never perfect. But the vitriol, the hatred, the attacking your opponent's character and patriotism just because you disagree is reached an all-time high. And whoever suggested turn off your cable TV is probably a good idea, because the kind of stoking the flames, there's fear out there, discontent, I think we're in serious trouble. This is, for me, in my tradition, it's Lent. Ash Wednesday was yesterday. I feel so deeply about this. I began to fast yesterday for all of Lent. Sometimes fasting and prayer and fasting can clear your mind and focus your attention. So, you know, I think we're in trouble. And these town meetings we're having, we have one tonight, the Tattered Cover, are about how we as citizens can take back this country. To move from being consumers, which is what they want us to be, consumers all the time, How do you become citizens?
Well, and let me stop you there and just ask a question about we're hearing this now more and more, that the political system is broken. And again, on the line with us is Reverend Jim Wallace. He's the president and CEO of Sojourners, where he's the editor-in-chief, of course, of Sojourners magazine. You can find it at www.sojo.net. And his new book, Rediscovering Values on Wall Street, Main Street, and Your Street, is just out, and he'll be signing those books and having a discussion tonight at the Tattered Cover in Lodo at 7:30. The political system is broken, but I guess what I'm asking is whether the political system, the problems in the political system are simply a magnification of the problems in society's broader mindset. I mean,
sure.
We have a society that for years and years we've heard, you know, greed is good. We are all, as you mentioned, we are all consumers, everybody for themselves. And then we have a Congress and a political system where that kind of rhetoric, that kind of ethic, if you can call it that, is then magnified into the monstrosity that it's become.
Exactly.
So I wonder whether it's a problem of the political system being broken or whether it's a problem of society being broken and the political system merely reflecting it.
Well, for example, I have focused in the last couple weeks on these sort of incredibly shameful bonuses on Wall Street. And yet, I want to say, the bonuses are just a symptom of a deeper societal erosion of values, just as you say. For example, the book has, there's three chapters. One is, these are the maxims that have overtaken, seduced us, really. Greed is good. It's all about me, and I want it now. Those kind of maxims are not just operational on Wall Street. They, wealth may not trickle down, but bad values do. And so those kind of maxims destroy economies and cultures and families and our very souls. And I counter those in the book with some new and really old virtues like enough is enough. We're in this together. And I love the indigenous native people's ethic of you evaluate decisions today by their impact on the seventh generation out. Now that would change things. So we've got to look in the mirror here as well and talk about new habits of the heart as well as new accountability for Wall Street.
And that's a much bigger, and frankly, it's a much bigger task than, let's say, just getting rid of the filibuster, getting rid of the most egregious broken parts of our political process, even money and politics. I mean, you are talking about mindsets here that have been built up over years and years and years. And I know that this is kind of an abstraction for people because it's easier to say, oh, we just got to fix the filibuster, or oh, we just got to get public financing of elections. And I support both those things.
But it's also...
It really is a deeper mindset here, and I guess my question along those lines is, this is a project that you are proposing, a change in values or a change in the way we look at the world. This is a project that is not going to take place overnight.
Well, in fact, as you know, it's social movements that finally even change policy because they change culture first.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at the Civil Rights Movement, the Civil Rights Act in 64 stemmed right from Birmingham, and the Voting Rights Act in 65 stemmed right from Selma. But really underneath that, there were millions of decisions and choices made by an awful lot of people, black and white, in this country that led to those changes in policy. So what I'm saying in the book is, yes, I do support a consumer financial protection agency. It's
right.
Critical. It's critical. Elizabeth Warren is right about that. But we have to look in the mirror here. Instead of keeping up with the Joneses, we've got to check and make sure the Joneses are okay. That's a very different mindset.
That's a very different mindset. And I think that's, you know, to bring it back to what you started out by talking about with immigration. I mean, the demagoguery around immigration, the demagoguery, for instance, around taxes, the reason why it has such traction in the first place from the media, from the media megaphone, is because the values in society, or at least among some in society, are such that that demagoguery actually works. And that's really the problem. I mean, we had, it's interesting that you mentioned this, because we had sports writer Dave Zirin on, who we were talking with him about Muhammad Ali. And he said, well, the thing everybody has to remember about Muhammad Ali when he spoke out against the war and for civil rights, he said, Muhammad Ali, you know, you got to give him credit for his heroism, but he was also a product of his time, a product of the values that were being struggled with in his time. And to that end, I will ask you again, Reverend Jim Wallace on the line with us here. He's going to be at the Tattered Cover in Lodo tonight at 7:30. I have to ask you, are there signs that you see out there that we may be starting to move in the right direction, or if not, have at least hit rock bottom?
Well, you know, I think there are, and the book finally is a hopeful book, not in the sense of, you know, Desmond Tutu from South Africa taught me a long time ago the difference between optimism and hope. Optimism is where you just evaluate how you're doing and how things look this morning, and your cup is half empty or half full. I'm not optimistic about Washington, for example, these days. However, hope, he would tell me, is a choice. It's a decision you make because of this thing, whatever you call faith. And I think around the country in these town meetings that we're having with this book, I've been encouraged by small business people and unemployed people, students, young high school kids, pastors, lay people coming together to say, if we're going to chart a moral economy or a moral compass, if you will, for a new economy, we have to do that together. And religion has no monopoly on morality here. But I'm finding that a lot of our faith traditions have values that need to be resurrected now, like simplicity and patience and humility and the importance of relationships, whether it be employer, employee, parents and kids, all of that, and stewardship, you know, stewardship of our resources. So I think these values are really crucial now, and I do find the conversations when I walk away. I did a Denver forum yesterday. I walk away from there. Everybody walked out of that room feeling hopeful that we can make a difference. But we have to make the difference. We can't rely on Washington or Wall Street. We have to build the kind of social movements that historically have made change possible. But I think a new generation, a bunch of high school kids came out yesterday from East High School here in town.
Mm-hmm.
I love their questions. I mean, what can we do? I said, well, don't let them make you consumers. Learn to become citizens. That's the key.
I think that is one of the many important points that you make in this book and in your speaking about the difference between being a consumer and being a citizen. It's just so important, and I just encourage you, and I know I'm sure people say this to you all the time, just keep up the great work. The Reverend Jim Wallace, again, his new book is Rediscovering Values on Wall Street, Main Street, and Your Street. He's going to be at the Tattered Cover in Lodo tonight at 7:30 p.m. Reverend Wallace, thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Great to be with you.
Good talking to you.
See you
919 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, we're going to do our News of the Weird segment. A lot of News of the Weird out there, as usual. I'll give you one little taste of News of the Weird. How weird is this? Michelle Obama is going to appear on Fox News for an exclusive interview on Fox News with Mike Huckabee. How weird is that? I'll fill you in on that in our News of the Weird segment. Then, at around 9:30, we're going to be joined by Greg Campbell, the author of Blood Diamonds. We've rescheduled that interview. He's a local author. He wrote the book that the movie was based on. He's got a new book out called Flawless, Inside the Largest Diamond Heist in History. We'll talk to him at 9:30. All that after a traffic update with John Turk.
All right, Dave, really no traffic around the metro now. All the freeways have cleared up for us. I might tap the brakes after the I-70 curve if you're traveling southbound on I-25. Up in the high country, I-70 might be slushy and slick in spots between Eagle and Copper Mountain. Chain laws in effect over Loveland Pass also have some construction going on at Georgetown. It's mostly affecting westbounders. Your forecast today, mostly cloudy, cold, afternoon snow, and highs in the mid-30s. Tonight, snow showers will pick up, bringing about another 2 to 4 inches to the city by midday Friday. That's when the storm will wind down. Right now, we're sitting at 33 degrees in downtown Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Nowadays, when I talk with folks, they know GEICO could save them hundreds on their car insurance. But what they want to know is how GEICO does it. Well, I say, we got tons of great discounts, like good driver discounts, multi-car discounts. And they say, there's no secret formula. And I say, nah, it's just what we do. And then sometimes they say, maybe a talking gecko's a secret. Well, I wouldn't know what to say about that.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Price does matter. Don't miss out on your free supply. 1-800-685-1986. That's 1-800-685-1986.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents Mike Rowe talking about the right time to have your vehicle serviced.
Oh, I don't know. I guess now would be good.
Now Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships have the Works Fuel Saver package. Oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
So then, right now.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service. Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating dealership or visit InService.com for mailing rebate details through 327-10.
Just tell me, is it now?
It's now, Mike.
When you hear that music, it's time for News of the Weird, and this is the weirdest news I've heard in a while. Michelle Obama is making her debut appearance on Fox News this coming Saturday on Mike Huckabee's show, titled Huckabee. The former Republican presidential candidate wooed the First Lady onto Fox to talk about her childhood obesity campaign called Let's Move. Huckabee is no stranger, of course, to battles with weight loss. He considers himself a, quote, recovering foodaholic who lost 120 pounds over 2 years and wrote a book called Quit Digging Your Grave with a Knife and Fork. Should be interesting. I actually, as detestable as some of Mike Huckabee's positions are on social issues, I actually don't mind Mike Huckabee. I mean, there are certain parts about Mike Huckabee that I do appreciate, at least coming from a Republican. He used to talk about CEO pay, and he ran a pretty interesting populist economic campaign when he ran for president. To Lewiston, Idaho. First came love, then came marriage, night arrests. A marriage got off to a rocky start after the 21-year-old groom from northern Idaho was arrested twice on his wedding night, and charged with assaulting his new wife in nearby eastern Washington. That's not cool. Court records show Nathan Lewis was charged Tuesday with second-degree assault and interfering with a report of domestic violence and getting arrested on your wedding night. That's brutal. From Tampa, son allegedly tries to attack dad with a blowtorch. A Tampa man has been charged trying to set his father on fire with a makeshift blowtorch. Everybody needs to chill out. Really, chill out. This from Shreve.
As I say, Dave, chill, dog.
I mean, seriously. You need to join us for Beer Friday and just...
I know. I even tell my kids, I say, chill, dog, and now my kids are even saying, chill, dog.
That's good,
it's
man.
Great, man.
That's good.
So when somebody's, you know, like being out crazy, just say, look at him and go, give him kind of a funny look and say, chill, dog.
Chill, dog. That's a good ethic for kids, definitely. This from Shreveport, Louisiana. Shreveport police said a man accused of brandishing a box cutter in an attempted holdup was found inside a box, inside his bedroom closet. That's pretty weird. Poor fit may explain why men refuse condoms. This is from Reuters. Condoms that do not fit right could break and may reduce sexual pleasure for both parties, suggesting reasons why men and women often fail to use them, researchers reported on Monday. Wow, what a amazing revelation that is. really. Arrested robber 73 says he was paying off his mortgage. This is from Tampa, Florida. 73-year-old Florida man who was arrested for robbing three banks unarmed and taking $600 in each heist said he needed the money to pay his home mortgage, said police. TV pitchman Trudeau gets 30-day jail sentence. A federal judge sentenced Kevin Trudeau to 30 days in jail on Wednesday after scolding the TV pitchman for inciting his fans to flood the judge's email with testimonials in his favor. Trudeau has long battled federal regulators over his marketing of alternative supposed cures for obesity, memory loss, disease, and financial ruin. So he ticked off the judge, and the judge now is kind of getting back at him. This is from Denver. This Robin Hood is accused of stealing and not to give to the poor. Authorities say a 34-year-old man named Robin Joshua Hood found someone's wallet in downtown Denver and apparently began using the man's name in a ploy to avoid being caught on a warrant. And this is not even weird. This is just sad. This is from New York. An international press freedom watchdog said that 2009 saw a record number of journalists killed, including the single worst massacre in the Philippines, as well as an increase in journalists jailed, fueled by a crackdown in Iran. That's your news of the weird. We'll go back to the phones now and take a couple calls before we get to our next guest. What do you think about President Obama coming to Colorado to campaign for Michael Bennett? Do you think President Obama should stay out of that Senate primary? Also, the news that Mayor Hickenlooper has appointed somebody who is something of a drug policy extremist to a review board in Denver that's supposed to be helping us make our drug laws more sane. What do you think about that? Mayor Howdy Doody. Oh, there it is. Mayor Howdy Doody. Do you think he was just out to lunch? Do you think he was out to lunch? Do you think he knew about this when he made this appointment? This guy who he appointed calling marijuana a cancer on society. What do you think? Howdy Doody didn't know it? Or do you think Howdy Doody did know it? Wonder what you think about that. We'll go to the phones, 303-713-7600. You can also instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Check out over there Jane Norton, the Republican Senate candidate. Check out her new ad about President Obama. Pretty crazy, pretty ridiculous if you ask me. It's on our website, am760.net. We'll go to the phones now. Let's go to John in Conifer. John, you're on am760.
Dave?
Yes, sir.
This is John in Conifer. There was an interview last night on KCFR, Colorado Matters is the show, and Colonel Klink, the local DEA commander, Jeffrey Sweeten, I believe is his name, finally coughed up his personal belief or his professional belief or whatever, that medical marijuana is a myth, that there's no medical legitimacy, whatever, in marijuana.
He said that in the paper as well.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. He had said that it's not a medicine, it's illegal.
Right, and I truly believe if you make money or you maintain power by some belief or misbelief, that it's hard for you to look at the evidence, even though there's 100 years of medical literature supporting that.
Of course. Well, you know, it's the old adage, it's the old Upton Sinclair adage. It's difficult to convince a man of something that he is paid to, and I'm butchering the quote, but it's difficult to convince a man of something that he is paid not to understand, right? And the DEA has an institutional bias, right? I mean, if marijuana is treated as a legal medicine, which it should be, in my opinion, if it's treated as a legal medicine, then the DEA loses its authority, loses its budget, enforcement budget to enforce regressive marijuana statutes on the books. So he is not an objective person.
Right. And ironically, there was the AMA who was most upset in the 1937 legislation that outlawed marijuana, that they had not been consulted before the predecessor of the DEA, Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs, was established.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about that, right? I mean, you talk to doctors. Look, I have my dad in here a couple weeks ago. My dad's a physician. He said, you know, he basically said, the idea that marijuana is some sort of dangerous drug is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous, and most doctors will tell you the same thing. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's go to Richie. Richie in Denver. You're on AM 760. Hey, Richie.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, man.
Two things. Well, one on the Bennett thing and on the marijuana thing. The Bennett thing, I'm right with you about primaries. Open up as many as you can, as many candidates as you can. But I think the problem is the bastardized George Bush quote. I think you overestimate the IQ, political IQ of the voter. I think they look for reasons to stay home. And I think the Democratic committee knows that, so they're just backing somebody who they think has the most money and the best chance. Because in primaries, people really look for a reason not to vote instead of to vote. Now, I think that's sad. I think it's wrong. I'm with you. It should be better. But that's usually what happens. That's why it's such a low turnout on primaries.
Well, I also think it's a low turnout because it's a smaller electorate. It's just registered vote. It's just in this state, it's just registered. Well, if you're a registered Republican, you vote in the Republican primary. Registered Democrat, you vote in the Democratic primary. So it's lower. And it's also, it's not as high profile. I mean, we have become such a media culture. Yep. Right, that people take cues from what they see on TV. Now, the November elections now have become these giant extravaganzas, right? With CNN covering it 24 hours a day, MSNBC, we're the place for politics, right? Yep. And so the general elections become big deals. They become big national deals. And the local, lower-level primaries in states, which don't take place all on the same day, they don't get the national attention they get. So part of the reason... At least part of the reason why they're lower turnout is because we're such a media-focused society and the media doesn't give those primaries nearly the attention they deserve.
And there's no really discernible difference between the candidates. There's questions on Romanoff. Is he a little bit better than Bennett? Probably. But there's questions on him, too. So voters look at it and say, what's the difference?
I that has been my criticism of the Romanoff campaign from day one. It's kind of like, you know, you got to make a case as to why... What Bennett is doing is not acceptable. We heard him for the first time, it was at least to my ear, the first time that I heard him say today, he singled out a particular vote that Bennett cast as a difference between the two. I think you're right. I think he needs to do a lot more than that. I think he needs to make so that the contest is actually a contest of ideas and not simply a popularity contest between who do you like better, Andrew Romanoff the guy or Michael Bennett the guy. Look, they're both good guys, right? Yep. But I don't care if they're good guys or not such good people. What I care about is how are you going to vote when you get there?
Exactly. And the thing about the marijuana thing, I think you should upgrade that guy from Schmuck of the Week to Douche of the Week. You know, I'm for the legalization of all drugs and treat addiction as what it is, a medical problem, not a criminal problem. You know, but I think that medical marijuana has been the biggest thing working against the legalization of marijuana. Because the people that open these shops, just like this jerk who grew 200 plants, they're laughing in the face of the government, and they're going to come down hard on them.
Well, Richie, let me take the other side of that, and I think I'm not saying your argument isn't valid. What I would just say is that sure, I think that some of these folks who are being deliberately provocative, and I think that this guy in Highlands Ranch who got arrested was probably being deliberately provocative by giving a TV interview and sort of bragging about what he was doing. As much as, it's going to incite a government crackdown, like you see with the DEA, I also think it's a double-edged sword. That in the government, in him effectively baiting the government to respond so absurdly, we, the public, gets to see just how absurdly the government is behaving, right? So that, in other words, he is pushing the far end of the envelope and making it, how do I put it, humiliating effectively the hypocrisy of the government's policy in the process. So I think it works both ways, but you do certainly have a point there that some people have been maybe they're delving into potentially counterproductive. Hey man, thanks for the call. 9:34 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The biggest diamond heist. We're going to have the author of the book, a local author, Greg Campbell, who was previously the author of the book Blood Diamonds, which the movie, the Leonardo DiCaprio. We're going to talk to him about the biggest heist in diamond history, his new book, up next after a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, Dave, there's not a whole lot to tell you about. Looks like speeds in the 50s and 60s on 225 in between I-70 and the Tech Center. Also, breeze getting in and out of downtown on 25. On the southwest end, C-47. Also, in good showing speeds in the 60s there between I-70 and I-25. Also looking good on the turnpike now between Boulder and the interstate. Your high country drive might be a little tricky. I-70, slushy, slick in spots between Eagle and Copper Mountain. Also have some construction
for the westbounders beginning at Georgetown. Your forecast, mostly cloudy skies, afternoon snow. That'll become heavier in the mountains. Look for 2 to 4 inches in Denver by tomorrow. High today, 37. Right now, 35 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The Kohl's Kids Who Care Scholarship Program will recognize more than 2,000 real kids and prizes. Nominate a stand-up kid at kohlskids.com by March 15th.
Now at the Home Depot, save an instant $50 to $250 on in-stock bath products. Brands like Kohler and Moen. Just spend $500 or more to update your bathroom and remodel your thinking, too. Because by putting your savings back into your project, you can afford an even nicer bathroom. If you hurry in today for an instant savings of up to $250, more saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only, see store for details.
Since OnStar began, we've responded to over 100,000 automatic crash alerts.
OnStar emergency, are there any injuries?
I don't know. I'm in a ditch.
I am going to get the 911 center on the line.
Emergency line.
This is OnStar emergency calling. I have a vehicle crash on Highway 16.
What happened?
I hit black ice. I've got a headache.
I have her east of Highway 97. I also have a latitude and longitude.
Okay, that helps. Are you at the ski hill?
Yep.
With built-in automatic crash response, an OnStar advisor can use GPS technology to locate you and share crash details, which could help save your life.
Help is on the way. We have fire and EMS heading out there to you.
I am still on the line. Do you have a blanket you can put on?
Yes, I had a couple of quilts in the back seat. I think they just got here.
All right, then. Please know we're here when you need us.
OnStar is standard for the first year on 15 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
Dex One. Marketing solutions. Business results. Take your business up a notch. Call 1-877-4DEX now.
AutoZone. Get your car in shape for spring with help from AutoZone.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Your engine's taken a beating over the last few months. With warmer weather coming, now's a great time to make sure it keeps going strong. Now at AutoZone, buy a 5-plus quart oil change jug or 5 single quarts of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $15.99. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
938 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Mr. Cab Driver. This is about the time where during this cold, I start to cough a lot. So if you hear some slightly long pauses, it's only because I've turned the mic off and I don't want to cough in your face. So I hope you'll bear with me. Also, I want one programming note. At 2 p.m. today, local time, I'm scheduled to be on MSNBC's Dylan Radigan show to talk about the news of the day, including President Obama being here in Colorado. So tune into that. That's at 2 p.m. again today on MSNBC. All right, joining us now is Greg Campbell, a local author. He is the author of the book Blood Diamonds, which inspired the movie, and he's got a new book out now called Flawless, Inside the Largest Diamond Heist in History. He's going to be at the Reader's Cove Bookstore in Fort Collins tonight at 6:30. That's the bookstore at the intersection of Harmony and LeMay. Again, Reader's Cove Bookstore tonight at 6:30 in Fort Collins. Greg Campbell, this book is about, as you say, the largest diamond heist in history. This took place in 2003. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, hi, Dave. This should be interesting. You got a cold. I've got a cold. You're lucky you've got a mute button there. So
Right. So feel free to cough. Cough. No problem.
Okay. All right. I'll try not to. Yeah, Flawless is the true story of the largest diamond heist in history, which took place over Valentine's Day weekend in 2003 in Antwerp, Belgium, which is it's the international capital of the diamond industry. About 80% of all diamonds by value that are found in the world eventually make their way through the streets of Antwerp. And because of that, security there is super top-notch. It's a very high-secured district. And the buildings within this little area are also super high security as well. And what occurred on this particular weekend was that a gang of very sophisticated Italian thieves, each of them had their own sort of specialty, you know, an alarm specialist, a safe cracker, a deception guy, a charming person, they made their way into this building and ended up robbing a vault that was protected with a very impressive mesh of electronic surveillance, including a motion detector, a heat detector, a light sensor, vibration alarms, and of course there's a big foot thick steel door that was double locked, and closed circuit cameras were watching the whole thing. And these guys managed to get through all that stuff. They tiptoed through this entire security network and had the run of the vault for 4 or 5 hours and made off with between $125 million to $500 million worth of diamonds, cash, gold, jewelry, securities, and such. And the loot's never been recovered. They were rather quickly found because of a mistake that they made with the getaway. But the loot itself has never been recovered.
So they found the people who did this.
They did.
But they never found the diamonds.
They never found the diamonds.
Now I have to stop you there and ask you this question. I remember buying an engagement ring for my wife, and on the side of the diamond, in kind of a microscopic. At the microscopic level, there were these numerals emblazoned on there. I guess it was the GIA code or something.
Yeah.
Did these diamonds that they stole, did they have anything on them that would allow the authorities to try to track them down?
Well, in fact, you know, they stole, first of all, 44 pounds worth of diamonds. That's about 100,000 carats worth of diamonds. So they had a wide variety. They had some rough stones that hadn't yet been polished. They had finished and polished diamonds, and they had some that were sort of in between, you know, in the process of being manufactured. But in fact, they did steal several diamonds that were in these GIA little plastic blister packs. And it's a certification so that people don't have to haggle over the weight or the mm-hmm. color or the clarity. And, you know, those do indeed have serial numbers, but the serial numbers don't necessarily have to be etched onto the diamond. That's sort of an option that you can get done. However, these guys, being as sophisticated as they were, and one of the criminals was a jeweler himself, but you can remove those etchings. You can either, if it's etched on the outside, you can either polish it off,
or if
it's laser inscribed, you know, laser can also take it off. So it would have taken a little bit of extra effort on their part to examine these.
But it's circumventable.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. In fact, even these ones that came in the little blister packages, even though they had a certificate number, the diamonds are traded so frequently in Antwerp, some $200 million worth of diamond transactions take place every day. So the certificate number really only refers back to the person who ordered the analysis in the first place.
So in this heist, again, on the line with us is Greg Campbell, the author of the new book, Flawless, Inside the Largest Diamond Heist in History. He's going to be at the Reader's Cove bookstore up in Fort Collins tonight at 6:30. Was there something in the security system that broke down in this Antwerp vault? Was it a security breakdown, or was it the mastery that the thieves possessed? Did they have inside knowledge? I mean, was there one or two things that they were able to figure out that were the big factors in allowing them to pull off this robbery?
That's a great question, and the answer is that it's a combination of the two. You know, these guys spent 2 years assembling the knowledge that they used to break into the vault. One of the guys had posed as a diamond dealer, and he rented an office in this building, and he also rented a safe deposit box in the vault. So he had free run of the vault. He could go there as often as he liked, and you know, he observed all the different security features, and he could see, you know, the name brand, for instance, on the motion detector. And so he would transfer all this information back to his colleagues in Italy, and they would sort of then take it and break it down and try and figure out a way around each of these mechanisms. But I think the overall security breach was human complacency. You know, the people who ran the building, they'd never been robbed before, and they certainly never expected to be robbed. And so they really kind of got lackadaisical about certain aspects, things that would be common sense to you and I. And as a, for instance, the camera network, there's 24 security cameras inside here that look at all various aspects, including on the vault level. And that would seem to be right there, you know, one of the great deterrents. But in the evening, in the middle of the night, nobody actually watched the live feed. So the monitors were turned off at night to save power. And the guards who were on duty were just, they had their own private apartments in this building. So, you know, they would have to be there around the clock, but they weren't required to patrol the hallways or watch the monitors. So they just kind of sat in their apartments and watch television all night.
So I always wonder this when I see movies about these robberies, you know, Ocean's 11, you know, those kinds of movies. When you see movies about high-profile robberies like this, I always wonder, you know, and you see them, the perpetrators usually walk away into the sunset. Now, here's the part that I always wonder about. Let's say these guys pulled it off. Let's say that their getaway car didn't, or whatever happened in their getaway didn't break down. They get away with all the loot. They somehow move the loot in a way. I mean, is there really a walk into the sunset quality to these things when they happen? I mean, I realize this is the biggest one in history that you've reported on, so I assume that there are smaller ones, but still significant ones. What I never understand is, like, if you stole, you said 100,000 carats of diamond, how you could move that, get it into cash for yourself, and walk away in a way that nobody would be able to track you down, much less Interpol and international security people. Would there really, if they hadn't messed up the getaway, would they have actually gotten away? And if so, how?
Yeah, I mean, I think they did get away with it because, like I said, the loot's never been recovered. Four of these guys were arrested, and they've done their time.
But, I mean, how do you bank a couple hundred million bucks and nobody, and hide it?
Well, that's part of the plot, you know. These guys spent all this time working on getting the different factors down so they could rob the place, and they wouldn't have gone through with it if they didn't have a system in place to quickly dispose of all the loot. And you have to keep in mind that these guys, this isn't their only job that these guys have pulled. They have a really colorful history of sophisticated jewelry store robberies that they've been doing for the past 20 years in and around northern Italy, southern France, and Switzerland. So they had a long established network of being able to move these stones. And the other thing to think of is that Antwerp, one of the guys was a jeweler. He actually ran jewelry stores. And so he knows the industry inside and out. And the diamond industry, as much as it gives this impression that it's, you know, full of love and honor and it's really, you know, above board, I mean, it's really a shady business. There's an underside to it that keeps a dedicated force of diamond detectives in Antwerp busy around the clock. These guys, their only job is to investigate crimes involving diamonds. And these crimes involve tax evasion. They involve, you know, smuggling, all kinds of different maneuvers. So, you know, the kind of short answer to your question is that within this industry, there are always people who are willing to look the other way because diamonds are so valuable and they can be, you know, practically untraceable, and they can be moved with ease. And very often, their mobility within, you know, from one owner to another is astonishing. You know, diamonds can change hands up to 20 times a day before the trading day is over. So, you know, there's always a guy who's going to be, you know, here's these diamonds. Yeah, they don't have certificates. Yeah, we don't really have any paperwork behind them, but you know, we'll give you 20 or 30% off of these.
Right, and that's still a lot of money.
Absolutely. And so these guys had that network, you know, already well established from their past.
My last question for you again, on the line with us, is Greg Campbell. He's the author of the new book, Flawless, Inside the Largest Diamond Heist in History. He wrote previously the book Blood Diamonds, which the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio is based off of. He's going to be at Reader's Cove Bookstore up in Fort Collins at 6:30 tonight. That's at the intersection of Harmony and LeMay. And my last question for you is a question not about robbing diamonds, but about, as you mentioned, the diamond industry. There's always talk, or at least there has been recently, about how diamonds, while they're valuable, their value has been inflated by artificially controlling the supply of diamonds. Is this one of the shady practices that goes on in the diamond industry to take diamonds that are somewhat valuable and make them these super precious stones that have all of this intrigue and value surrounded them?
You know, I would say that's actually the bedrock foundation of the entire industry in the first place. You know, diamonds are not nearly as rare as those in the industry would have you believe. They are less rare, in fact, than emeralds and rubies and sapphires. But because of the practices of, you know, this sort of cartel that was run by De Beers throughout its 100-plus year history, you know, De Beers would hoard and monopolize, you know, the supply of diamonds. And then they would only sell, you know, a certain small amount once every 5 weeks to this selected group of buyers who, you know, then would disperse them around the world. So De Beers controlled the supply, but they also helped manufacture the demand. You know, the whole thing that every guy who's ever fallen in love has memorized, a diamond is forever, that came from De Beers. And you know, De Beers spends a great deal of money marketing diamonds and convincing grooms that it's absolutely indispensable when it comes to marriage and engagement and showing expressions of love. So there's no question about it. And in fact, it's somewhat funny because the most popular diamond in the world is a 1-carat brilliant cut diamond. And there are so many 1-carat brilliant cut diamonds circulating in the Diamond District that, you know, if these thieves had made off with, you know, a good portion of those, that they would, there's no way they would ever be found because they move so quickly, not just from hand to hand in Antwerp, but quickly around the world and through all these jewelry stores.
And because there's so many of them, as you say.
Exactly. There are so many of them. It's unbelievable.
It really, the whole diamond industry, and I studied it, I shouldn't say study, but I looked into it when I was looking for my wife's engagement ring, and I did my best to find a GIA diamond that was not from a place that had been, that there was conflicts, and when you start peeling the onion, you start realizing this is a very, very opaque world, in the diamond industry, and this book, Flawless, Inside the Largest Diamond Heist in History, goes into some of that, and I encourage people to go check out the book. Greg Campbell, the author of the book, will be at Reader's Cove Bookstore at 6:30 p.m. up in Fort Collins tonight. That's at the intersection of Harmony and LeMay. His website is bygregcampbell.com. That's bygregcampbell.com. Greg, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Thanks so much, Dave. It's great talking to you.
Good talking to you. 9:51 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, we'll fill you in on all the rest of the stories that we haven't gone over today, including big health care premiums coming up. That's according to the HHS secretary. And also a little bit more of an update on that gift card legislation in the Colorado legislature. Stick around for that after a traffic update. Oh, and if you want to call in and weigh in on anything we've been discussing, got a couple open lines, 303-713-7600. We'll try to get to a couple calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thanks, Dave. Traffic is in good shape for us around the city now. We just see the normal jams going in and out of downtown on I-25, but nothing too serious. I do want to let you know that this afternoon we may have some problems as President Barack Obama appears at two different fundraisers around Denver. He's scheduled to arrive at Buckley Air Force Base in Aurora just before 3 p.m. That's around 225 and 6th Avenue. And then they will visit the Fillmore Auditorium around 3:30 p.m. That's at Clarkson and Colfax, so expect some more traffic and security measures down there. Once he leaves the Fillmore, he's going to go to a private fundraiser at the downtown Sheraton Hotel located near 16th Street and Court, and he'll depart from Colorado Buckley Air Force Base at 5:30 p.m. So there's going to be a lot of security measures going on around downtown today. Your forecast: mostly cloudy skies, afternoon snow. Should get about 2 to 4 inches in Denver over the next 24 hours when this wraps up on Friday. Looking for a high today of 37, and right now we're sitting at that exact temperature, 37 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Head to your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer during their Colorado snow days and get a great price on one of 19 Mercedes-Benz 4MATIC all-wheel drive models, including the road-gripping C-Class 4MATIC. But hurry, these snow days won't be around forever. What the...
Derek Figueroa, CFO for Denver-based Seattle Fish Company, on why he picked the CU Executive MBA program.
I did a lot of research on executive MBA programs, and CU was the one that came back with the best recommendation. CU's executive MBA allowed me to go back into my company and contribute in key ways that I couldn't have before. It's really paid off. Check it out for yourself.
Go to colorado.edu/executive MBA or call 303-623-1888. That's 623-1888.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand, or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
High resale value and 3-year, 36,000-mile no-cost maintenance. The 37-mile-per-gallon Mini Cooper is a smart buy. You could say it delivers fiscally prudent, environmentally sensitive, flat-out, full-on, go-for-broke, no-holds-barred, white-knuckle go-kart handling motoring excitement starting at $19,500. Or you could just say it's a smart buy.
Right now, get 1.9% APR financing on all 2010 models. Learn more at miniusa.com/info.
MSRP includes destination and handling, excludes license, registration, taxes, and options.
AutoZone.
Get your car in shape for spring with help from AutoZone.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Your engine's taken a beating over the last few months. With warmer weather coming, now's a great time to make sure it keeps going strong. Now at AutoZone, buy a 5-plus quart oil change jug or 5 single quarts of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $15.99. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
956 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Last couple stories I want to fill you in on. Eye-popping health insurance premium increases of up to 39% are a worrisome sign of the times, the Obama administration said in a report Thursday, as it tried to tap public frustration with the high costs to revive the stalemated effort to overhaul health care. So the HHS saying that we're going to get, all of us are going to face really big health premium increases. And then, of course, I want to fill you in on this. This bill in the legislature caught my eye, Senate Bill 155, which would require a store to refund a customer cash if there's less than $5 left on a gift card and prohibits businesses from charging hidden fees when issuing a gift card. It's a good piece of legislation from my state senator, Joyce Foster, so keep your eye on that. We'll go to the phones, take a couple calls if we can here. Everybody's got 30 seconds to squeeze in as many phone calls as we can on any issue we've discussed today. Joanne in Denver. Joanne, 30 seconds. Fire away.
Hello.
Hi, Joanne.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to weigh in on the issue of Obama coming to visit, and we are going to have a rally down at the Sheraton to show that we do not agree with his coming to Colorado and not letting us decide who we elect in the primary.
And that's down at the Sheraton. What time is that rally?
We're going down there. We'll be there at 2:30 at Civic Center to go march down there.
Okay. Thanks, Joanne. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Thanks for informing everybody of that. Rob in Arvada. Rob, you're on AM 760.
Is that Robin?
Yes, Rob. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, what's the update on Jay Marvin?
Jay's doing better. Jay and I had lunch a couple, about a week and a half ago. He's up and moving around, and he's doing some writing on his blog, and he's doing better. I think slowly but surely he is recovering. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Let's go to Dave in Centennial. Dave, 30 seconds. Fire away.
Hey, good news about Jay.
Yeah, man.
I got another little action alert. There's a group of architects and engineers based out of California. They're called AE911truth.org. They're going to have an international press release tomorrow concerning the fact that they have over 1,000 engineers and architects that want to reopen the 9/11 investigation.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. That's it. That's it for the show. We'll be here tomorrow. It's the Tiger Woods announcement. We'll have an organic brewer in studio, and we'll see you then.
Changing the way America buys windows. That's Windows America. No games, no gimmicks. Just a great window at a great price. Visit Windows America at the Colorado Garden and Home Show at the Colorado Convention Center February 13th through the 21st and get their home show special. Triple pane windows installed for only $349. Click on the banner ad right now, located on your Listen Live player, or visit WindowsAM.com. A proud member of Tom Martino's Troubleshooter Network. Windows America, a better way to buy windows.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM 760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19, only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Oh, Vision Works.